this week. Facebook makes game streaming a first-tier citizen. The ESRB adds new rating information, and Beat Saber works to keep you healthy. There's also speculation, sad news, squabbles, and plenty more to discuss. So let's kick off episode 2 to the power of 3 and 4 right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 816 of our show for this April the 19th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you live and here in our studio that usually we all gather live in, but due to the circumstances going on in the real world right now, of course, we are recording over distance. So thanks to the magic of Discord, I am joined by the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right. It's been a long day and a long week, and better times are ahead.
Well, let me be the first to say tonight, happy birthday, Dark Sakura. It is
Thank you. Your birthday. Yes, it is. And I am this many years old.
And she's holding up 21 fingers.
Well, don't tell people where I got those hands from, okay? But anyway, yeah, it's my birthday. I was squirted out a while ago.
Wow.
So much pain and general disappointment of the world.
Well, congratulations on hitting a milestone. I know that birthdays during the pandemic are a little because, you know, I've known quite a few people at this point who've had birthdays, but hopefully you're able to kind of make the best of the situation and you get a makeup birthday when this is all over.
I reckon so. And Phoenix7726 said happy 21st. Now you can have a drink. I've been day drinking all day. I started at 11.
What's your drink of choice today?
Well, a good friend who I think she's been on the show a long time ago sent me a bottle of Godiva chocolate liqueur, which I have just had the biggest craving for like at least since I had better lung capacity. So maybe after I was first done with the actual sick part of pneumonia. And I have my bottle and it makes me happy and I've been pouring it in coffee and, also some Kraken, which I'm not drinking anything right now. I have one left of my Trader Joe's chocolate Botswan stout. So I'm going to have that tonight.
I should have brought the can to Frivolo and left it on your doorstep, but, I took a nap.
I took the shit out of that.
I took a nap. I took a very important nap. Well, you know what? It'll just be one of those things I'll have to do midweek.
You can work from home and tomorrow and just drop it off after the show. I gotcha.
I do okay. Work from home right now. Yeah. I'm very fortunate. I'm a big,
same.
You know, yeah, there's I know there's a lot of just like instability with things going on out there. So I trust me, I'm very, very thankful for the situation I'm given right now. So
SSJ100 Matt asked how the stout is, and given that it's on one of my lists of favorites and I will sometimes drink it over a Guinness. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Ooh, Melchan13 in chat says, I have a whiskey ginger lemonade. It is tasty. That sounds really good. It's very close. You say ginger. My absolute favorite drink is a Moscow Mule. Bonus points if you can actually serve it in the copper cup. That kind of made me think of that because that's
I'm one
ginger.
Of those girls that I get very expensive whiskey and I drink it neat.
All right. Well, we know what to get you for your birthday.
Well, lately I've actually had to drink whiskey and bourbon on the rocks just because it hits me so much faster.
They're saying in chat that you actually like your audio quality actually sounds better tonight, but I think that I don't think you've changed mics. I think that may be a side effect of you're like healthier than you've been in weeks, right?
Oh yeah. No, my whole medication, regimen has been, bumped up quite a bit. I still get a little short of breath, but I feel like I've got better vocal capacity. Yeah, and I have been drinking, so maybe that helped.
That's right. And
sober right now.
By the way, we are reading shout outs in our chat room because, of course, we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, VOG, Voice of Geeks Network. And we are on at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern ish, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And also, speaking of voice quality and I think improved voice quality, let's say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
You sound much better. You do not sound like you're on a tin can anymore. This is great.
Well, That's because before I was on a webcam mic, and right. now I'm on a Rock Band mic.
I love it. You are legit on a Rock Band for a PlayStation 2, like USB mic?
It was Xbox 360, but yeah, it's the old Logitech mics that they used to... Actually, I don't even think this is from Rock Band. I think this may be from Karaoke Revolution. Just had it left over from all that stuff, but
oh my,
I mean, they're all compatible.
Oh my God, I have one of those. That sealed Karaoke Revolution country that's been sitting in this studio.
Yeah.
Who knew? There's a freaking mic in there. Maybe that's how I fixed... Some that are watching on Twitch will notice I'm using a different mic too, because I think, you know, we upgraded the mics in the studio a few months ago, but I honestly think they've been causing more problems, which is unfortunate. So I'm actually trying to switch mics tonight to try to get some of the popping to calm down a little bit. Maybe I need to switch to the freaking karaoke. I'm looking around
They're all USB mics, but they're not bad. And this one must be brand new because it's wrapped up nicely. The cord is wrapped up neatly, because whenever I rewrap that, it's never going to be like that again. So
Rob,
I have, yeah.
Rob, girl, you are not Alyssa Edwards. Stop the popping.
Okay, let's see. Going to our chat. A lot of compliments on Loki's sound tonight, and people are really hilariously digging the fact that you're using a Rock Band mic, and people's confessing this is like it's a good entry-level podcast mic. Maybe that's the advice we want to give to people that want to use this opportunity to start a podcast, which, unlike Twitter and people trying to be funny on Twitter who are not funny, ever funny, saying, oh, please, whatever you do, don't start a podcast. To that, I say, fuck that. I say, absolutely, yes, start a podcast, especially if you think you're the type of person who shouldn't be podcasting, and you probably are the type of person that should be podcasting. And I think this is great advice. Dust off your Rock Band or Karaoke Revolution microphones, and you've got a good starter kit right there. VG Realness. When VG Realness did our podcast, we did it with four separate rock and mics attached to a USB hub. Bobby says, my first podcast microphone was a karaoke microphone. Tiger Claw says, someday you'll get one of those mic holder things that you mount on a desk so that you don't always have to hold it. Yes, I want to get one of those like elaborate like hook type things, because the problem is we do have like a tiny baby stand. I had one sitting around here because Dark Sakura was using it for like 2 weeks before this whole thing started. But it confines, like I would have to sit here and talk like this for the entire show, and it would be very awkward. So I need something that lets me move a little more naturally, because I think...
Granted, I paid $5 for it.
Yeah. I think granted, when we are all in the same room, which is how this podcast is intended to be, obviously we're not right now because of the state of the world and setting a good example, but when we're in the same room, we like to kind of look at each other and interact and play off each other and stuff. And so I think movement is very important. And that's why I've always been a big proponent of hand mics, although most podcasters would think I am nuts. But I'm like, there's positives and there's negatives. The positive is I get an additional energy off being able to feed off my co-hosts that I think a lot of people don't always get. So, that's the type of stuff you have to weigh for what works for you. So anyway, Tiger Claw says, have you thought of headset mics? Yes. In fact, I think, aren't you using one right now, Dark Sakura?
I am. I'm using my work mic.
Yeah.
It's one of those Jabra mics. They're not cheap. I mean, but I think it sounds okay. It sounds pretty good.
Honestly, in the perfect world, I'd have those little lavalier mics just like they have on the nightly news, or, you know, when you professional grade stuff. That's ideal for me, honestly. So who knows? Maybe with enough biddies and subs, we'll get there. I'm teasing. I'm not really going to beg for money, although certainly we always welcome that type of stuff. And it does go back to running the show and all that good stuff. But who knows? We'll see. The nice thing is, again, not that any of this going on in the real world right now is nice, but if there is a silver lining, I don't know about you guys, but I'm saving money because I'm not driving. I'm not going out to eat as much. I'm not – like there's certain places where I'm like actually saving money. And again, I completely realize there are other people right now that are in a very much financial hardship. So I don't want to sound like I'm unaware of some of that privilege that I have with my work situation and everything. But I am able to kind of like save money so I can hopefully maybe invest in some of those things. So for what it's worth. So anyway,
our gas bill though has been much higher because Dan has been, well, he cooked the entire time that I've had pneumonia and since I was still recovering.
So yeah, Alan's been doing a lot of cooking around here too. Like he made muffins the other day. That's never happened. So that's fun. So, all right. Anyhow, let's actually, we are a video game show, so let's get into talking about some video games. Although this kickoff topic tonight is a little bit like video games are kind of like a part of it, but it does have to do with somewhat kind of like our world situation right now, where most of us are staying at home. In fact, everybody really should be staying at home unless you are in a country that is somehow unaffected by this, but I think every country is at this point. So most people are staying at home so that they're not, you know, spreading the, well, you, and you're not staying at home if you're an essential worker. That's what I'm looking for. Many people are trying to, you know, with the gyms closed and other ways that maybe have been ways that you were getting fit before, maybe like walking to a subway or walking to transit or a bus or something and back, maybe you're not doing that as much anymore. So you're looking for other ways to get fitness. And so video games is a big kind of method for that for a lot of people. Kind of knowing that that is the case, one big video game this week released a kind of fitness-related song. Beat Saber is the game, and of course a lot of you guys know Beat Saber is a hugely popular VR game. It's almost in some ways the flagship, the Wii Sports of VR, almost. I don't know, Half-Life Alyx might be there soon, but I think a lot of people recognize Beat Saber as like one of the VR games, and of course Beat Saber is a music-based game, and it's kind of a workout. You know, when you're waving those hands around frantically, and you know, you're kind of trying to dodge pillars in that game, so you're moving your whole body up, down, side, side, it can be quite a bit of a workout. Well, there was a new song released this week called Fitbeat. It is a free official song, and it is going to help you get a workout. And in fact, looking at the preview video, they're playing it in expert or whatever the most hardcore mode is, and it looks like a heck of a workout. Luckily, I'm sure there's easier modes that I could actually play. But the interesting thing about Fitbeat is that the song is actually designed to give your body a workout. So it's designed with the step pattern. I say step pattern because my mind goes to DDR, but you know, with the note pattern and that in mind to really work your body out. And I thought that was kind of a neat concept, is that, you know, especially when you consider this particular show's roots in music gaming and the fact that, you know, a lot of us back in the day in 2002 when we started were using things like Dance Dance Revolution and Power of Our Paradise and, you know, those types of games for fitness as well as fun. It's kind of interesting that in this world situation we have Beat Saber is one option of many. We'll talk about some of those other options in a minute. Beat Saber is kind of one option for people to stay fit. And now it's like, not only is it just that you're playing the game to be fit, but this is designed with fitness in mind. It's kind of like, you guys remember Dance Dance Revolution on the PlayStation 2 had like a fitness mode, right? Did you guys ever use fitness mode to actually be fit?
Well, not to be fit, just as a personal challenge.
How so?
Just to keep up with it. Can I do this round?
Okay. Did you guys, actually, let me sidetrack a little bit. How, you know, especially because if in a weird way, the DDR stuff is kind of older at this point, right? Dance Dance Revolution and all that was, you know, 10 plus years ago when we were playing that stuff on the PlayStation 2. What was the fitness mode and what was the fitness kind of like in those games?
It's similar to the arcade. Basically, It calculates the number of steps that you're taking based on the steps that are in the song and assigns it a calorie value based on that. That's how the, I think A and I don't even know when they started, but with all the profiles and everything on there, they do calculate calorie burning in there as well based on the number of steps and difficulty of the song, right? And maybe BPM or something like that.
And it's super inaccurate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit rudimentary because it's I don't think it's taking into account height or weight or any of that when it does the calorie calculation, does it?
I think you can set it up online when you're setting up your account to actually put your height and weight in there. But yeah, it's still pretty.
Even then, basic. You know, everybody is different. So it's going to be an estimation at best. Lots of folks in chat lighting up on this topic because I know we have a lot of old school music game fans in chat. Pixel Paca says, I've been playing a ridiculous amount of DDR with my Stepmania stage. Mel Chan said, I wanted to get Ring Fit Adventure, but it's gone through the roof price-wise. We'll come back and talk about Ring Fit Adventure in a bit. Mr. Rizos in chat says, I'm still playing Just Dance. So kind of like a cousin to DDR, kind of like a modern, you know, day dance game. Obviously, those games are still huge. I'm still playing Just Dance in sweat mode to try to keep moving. You know, and I've seen tweets of even in this type of situation, I've saw tweets of friends who are setting up their old school PlayStation 2, or I think in this one case, I saw an Xbox 360, Matt, with the Universe games, setting that up on the wooden panels to prevent the mats from bunching up. And like this is my workout regime right now because 24-hour fitness is closed or whatever it is. Or, you know, I know a lot of people are still going outside, which is it's a good thing. Doctors recommend you should still be going outside for 30 minutes a day, just as long as you're maintaining social distance rules and everything like that. But not everybody necessarily wants to run outside or, you know, exercise and sweat and all that outside. Maybe going outside is literally just catching some sun and you want to do the working out in the comfort of your own home. That's, you know, so a lot of people set up those types of home gym types of setups, and video games are a great way to do that. So, continuing with the Fitbit story, if you want to grab this song, it is free. It's available for PlayStation VR as well as Oculus, Steam. It works with the One Saber mode and 360 degree modes in addition to the regular Two Saber game. So they've fleshed out with all the different modes that Beat Saber supports. And I know when I play Beat Saber on PlayStation VR where I own it, I get quite a bit of exercise from that game. So that is a good way, I think, to get some exercise. I also really like Autica, which is another music game. You don't flail quite as much, but I think it's still a bit of a workout, and that's a really good one as well. Although, not everything has to be VR for exercise. Not everybody necessarily enjoys VR. Some people may find working out with that headset a little awkward. So there's certainly other ways to do it, such as we had Just Dance was mentioned, old school DDR and those types of games, and Ring Fit Adventure. And SSJ100 Matt in our chat at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, I've been playing Ring Fit Adventure since this whole thing started. I lost 5 pounds playing it in the past 30 days and feeling stronger in my arms and legs. Still hate doing squats, though. But squats are awesome in Final Fantasy VII Remake. Just saying. Anyway. Bobby Blackwolf says Autica is arm day. Beat Saber does some leg day. Bobby says pull out your old Wii Fit. And She-Hulk 10 kind of piggybacks on that saying Wii Tennis. Absolutely. So there's all sorts of ways that people are using video games to stay fit. I'm kind of curious for my co-hosts, and that we've heard from some of the chatters, but if you guys want to expand on that more, are you guys using video games at all to stay fit and get exercise during this? If so, like, what is kind of your routine?
Well, I've been playing Step Mania on my arcade cabinet, so doing that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you're fortunate to have the whole stinking cabinet in your garage. That's pretty good.
Yeah, not as much as I, you know, would like to be, but easing myself back in there.
Nice. Dark Sakura, I don't know if you have because you've been kind of sick, but anything?
I've been a lot sick.
Yeah.
So I've done two things, jack and shit. So,
well, any plans maybe now that you're feeling better?
Well, I'm going to try to see if I have the lung capacity to take an actual walk around my block tomorrow. But, Dan and I talked about busting out the Dreamcast for second mix. Just kind of offhand. I'm kind of thinking I might do the DDR thing again. But just so far, I've just been doing standard exercise yoga while listening to my favorite podcast, really.
Including Orange Lounge Radio. I'm just kidding.
I don't want to listen to my own voice. You know that. But I do subscribe to us.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, but, you know, if anyone wants to know what my favorite podcasts are, ask me later. I will tell you because they're awesome people.
I will say the one answer that nobody said yet, is my good old GPS games I use a lot when walking. Orna's been a big one lately, just because that's kind of been the game of the moment. But also the nice thing about Orna is that it's not tied to, Pokestops or, you know, certain areas specifically. Jamie, we can hear your keyboard, just so you know.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. So it's not tied to like specific places like Pokestops and gyms. Monsters and those types of things in Orna spawn everywhere. So if I just kind of like walk around the block where there might not be any Pokestops, I can still do something. So that's been a really good game for that. But I know a lot of people still play Pokemon Go, and I've played that too because I might go to the park and play that. Ingress. The play in that has slowed down tremendously because most people are kind of staying in their own neighborhoods. So it's kind of one of those, I like to go walking at one of the local parks, But like, if my competition hasn't taken it over for their team, they don't go there as much as I do. So I oftentimes go there and I have nothing to do because it's still my team's color. So, but they took it today, so I need to go take care of that tomorrow, but we'll see. But yeah, I mean, that's been a good way to just get out, get some sun and so forth, is the nice GPS gaming. So there's that as well. And I know Pokemon Go especially has really been trying to rely on the incense. So you can really make more Pokemon spawn, even if you're just sitting in place. I know they did a big event today. I checked it out for a little bit, but I wasn't going to sit there for 6 hours playing the
whole
thing.
Have you tried that rating at home stuff yet?
I don't think they've actually turned it on yet. I know they've announced it, but it's not turned on yet. But I would imagine that's coming in the next week or very, very soon. I think before Community Day, because Community Day is being advertised with that new raid pass. And I got a new gym right nearby. So obviously I have to keep it vague because I don't like giving my address away on air, but I got a second gym added within my sight, what I can see from the house. So that will be like something I can use because it says you can raid anything in your nearby view. So that's kind of nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So
I wonder if I can hit the one for my park then.
You might. If it comes up in your nearby, if like an egg is on it, then it's something you'll be able to remote raid. That is apparently what the rules are supposed to be. SS2100 Matt in chat says, I have still been playing Pokemon Go during this whole thing. I just play late at night when not a lot of people are around. And SS2100 Matt says, I forgot about the event. I think that might also tie into Pokemon Go's kind of event fatigue. They're almost doing so many events, it's hard to keep track of them sometimes. And some of them just fall off the radar. Like, I've kind of given up on tracking all the Pokemon Go events. Like, I just play when I want to play. They're clearly not increasing the level cap anytime soon. I'll catch them all eventually. So I've kind of turned into filthy casual when it comes to Pokemon Go, and that is A-okay. So, all right. Well, anyhow.
I don't think I've touched it in a while, to be honest.
Well, hey, you know, if you start going for more walks, that or Orna or so, whatever's up your alley, might be the type of thing that's just kind of something that motivates you to take a few more steps. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just saw that we unlocked Fallen King Arthas, but apparently I can't fight him yet.
Yeah, I doubt anybody can.
Well, Zet's doing that. Yeah.
I'll be honest now, though, when I'm walking or something like that, I don't want to be distracted by looking at my phone when I'm trying to enjoy the scenery around me. I'm just saying.
That's fair. You know, I think you can find a blend of both. I try to have a little bit of both, especially if I'm playing around Sunset. I find that the phone can motivate me to kind of keep out there and then, oh, yeah, kind of look up once in a while. You know, especially if I'm before the pandemic started, when I was playing Ingress in new areas, then it was very encouraging to kind of like, oh, I never would have thought this was here before. And you kind of stop to check out that world around you. So it's kind of cool. So, all right, I thought it would be interesting to kind of hear about some of these fitness type of ways that we're, you know, still staying fit in this particular circumstance, especially with this Beat Saber track having come out this week specifically about fitness. Let's move on, though, and talk about the types of games that we have been playing this week, whether they're fit or otherwise, and how was your gaming week? So, Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week? What have you been playing?
Animal Crossing.
Of course. How's that
going?
This
is going to be my gaming week for the next 2 years, okay? Yeah. We finally, you know, got the KK thing to the end of the storyline. I never say it's the end of the game because the game is always ongoing. Dan still has the 2 million bell loan to pay off for his basement.
Now you're in the end game. The Animal Crossing end game. 5-star rating and the stonk market.
Stonks. I actually did buy my first torps for actual doing stock market.
Well, you've got that whole little Facebook group to share prices. And I've been added to 2 different Facebook groups for Animal Crossing. There's yours.
You saw
there's
mine grow.
Yeah, and there's another one I got added to as well. And it's great for checking up on turnip prices and stuff. So I wonder how long that's going to go.
Well, mine hasn't really died down at all in livelihood either. And, you know, one of the other fun things about it is that it actually has been growing by more people. Like, when I started this, I started it with 10 people. And I was like, hey, you can add a friend here and there. And a friend here and there turned into, I don't know how many people we have in there. I'd have to go look at the statistics again. But that group is just really growing. And if you're on on Facebook, I do keep my Facebook very, very hidden. So if you're not, you know, a mutual or something, if you're a mutual, reach out, let me know. If you find me on Twitter, I might be able to get you a way into the group. So we'll see. But the group is doing pretty well. And everyone's been really forthcoming. No one's like, hey, I'm selling this for 50 million bells. You have to pay it up or nothing.
You need to leave a 50,000 bell tip, and there will be a bodyguard there amongst the fence path to collect. I can't stand that side of the game. I'm sorry. Those are the types of groups I don't want to be in.
You know, the only thing that I do if it's an absolute stranger, I'll do a limited code. And I got the idea from somebody of putting a booth, like one of those little stands, in front of where the airport is so that they can't get past it. Although I did wall off most of my village because I'm not mad about it, but I've been more cautious. That one of my friend's husband was playing on her account while she was, you know, tending to their 2-year-old. And he came and chopped down a bunch of my bamboo.
Oh, yikes. Okay.
Because I had her character in as a
best
friend.
Yeah.
Or just the normal friend opening. But if you're someone's in with a dodo code, then they can dig up your flowers and all of that. And I normally, you know, I'm fine with it. Usually I'm like, hey, look, I have extra of these blue pansies. And I've got purple pansies now, for the record. Yeah, go ahead and dig yourself up too, you know. And they chopped down. I mean, thankfully, I had sprouts. I could regrow the bamboo. It was fine. But I was like, hey, just talk to your husband and tell him that ain't cool. And she's like, oh, he didn't know any better. He's sorry. He says he's sorry. I'm like, okay. But still, I actually now I have we call it our gated community. And I'm finally getting my 10th villager.
Oh,
but I have – the way I have it laid out is the fences go – and they're really unobtrusive until you actually try to leave to go across a bridge. My river is, you know, 4 spaces wide now, you know, at that cutoff point. So – I've got paths that end, so I've really, you know, it's kind of like how you can, like at Disneyland, how they redo the chains to reform the queue or reroute.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Disneyland now.
See, I just wouldn't invite anyone I didn't trust to not screw up my town. Like, and, you know, unless you put them on your best friends list, they can't. And, you know, you're just not going to be able to 100% prevent the husband signing on the wife's account or whatever, that whole thing. Like, you're not going to be able to 100% stamp that out. Those types of issues are going to happen. But I just wouldn't invite anyone to my town that I didn't trust to, like, go to Nook's, do your thing. Please don't run through the flowers. But if they run through flowers and they grow back in 2 days, they're just going to irritate me.
Yeah, it doesn't destroy the flowers.
Yeah, it's not like it was in the older games. Like, as long as you don't add them to your best friends list, they're really limited on what they can do.
Well, the thing that I'm really doing is I'm trying to still encourage that open trade in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, today I walled off my sections and I stuck down my happy birthday sign, which there'll be pictures up on my Instagram. It's Dobutsu no Shima. Dobutsu underscore no underscore Shima. I had like a little birthday party and everything that Agnes threw for me, who I'm actually liking Agnes, even though I call her a bitch whenever I'm looking for. But I had it to where people could go visit my villagers. They could go to my stores. They could go in my museum. You know, I could do little pictures and everything. I had my happy birthday sign and a cake and everything out. And I sat in the director's chair and had a held court. I was wearing the little tiara outfit because I don't have enough bells for the crown. And Dan and I last night, more like up to 2 in the morning, since I got terraforming, we, you know, redid the grounds and we moved things around and we just had a great time, you know. It's been something, and I'm surprised that Dan has gotten as into it as he has. But it's something that he and I can do together.
That's great.
And for the record, we do have a Final Fantasy VII remake, but we haven't been so inclined to play it. Not yet.
Interesting. Just because you're so into Animal Crossing.
Well, that too. And it's just like when we're not doing Animal Crossing, we're watching our normal, you know, YouTube channels that we like to watch. Like we like the 4 Levels of Chef videos, and we like the Gourmet Recreates videos, and we like Binging with Babish.
So you're just not in a rush to get to it. You'll get to it when you get to it.
Yeah, RetroCore, that's another one. And we've also played a little bit of pinball together.
It's going to be 2 years before the next episode comes out anyway. So, I mean, it's not a big deal, I don't think.
No. So, yeah, we've got time. I'm cool with it.
Cool. All right. Well, by the way, I don't think you heard the end of Bobby's show because he was telling a story that would have piqued your interest. Now, I would encourage everybody to listen to the Bobby Blackwolf show, but I will summarize his story. So Bobby has been trying to get one specific villager to come to his island, and it's the villager everybody wants. It's Adi, right? The one named after the grandmother that played. So he's been using Nook Miles tickets to go talk to all those, you know, villagers that hang out on the island, right? Because when you have an open house, there will be villagers on the Nook Miles Island. Like, I just got Boomer yesterday, so I finally have a penguin in my town. For the first time ever in all of my Animal Crossing history, I finally have a freaking penguin in my town. Thank you very much. But you can talk to them, and they'll move into the empty house if you want them to. Well, he went to an island, and he realized that he was fishing up nothing but garbage. He was on Garbage Island. And Jamie, guess what villager was living on Garbage Island?
I think I know.
Yeah, if you looked at chat, you probably know. It was Ed. Ed lives on Garbage Island.
Ed is full of garbage. I ran into Ed at somebody else's town, and I wish he'd been outside because I would have beaten him to shit with a bug net or tried to axe him or something.
My friend that I visited the other day had Dina, and I thought of you. She gave me a recipe. She was very nice.
You know what? I have the card for Dina. Hmm. I'm getting a spare Dina, of which, when it arrives, I'm giving it to you.
Aww.
I've already given out my other spare cards, except some of my specials. But I discovered something as well. Hmm. I have one Sanrio card.
Oh,
I have the,
awesome.
The Etoile card, which is the little twin stars. And I got it because I wanted – I was going to do the amiibo thing on New Leaf. And I wanted Etoile, you know, the little twin stars set. And I never did it. And when I saw – that you can use the little Twin Stars amiibo cards, I was like, oh shit. And I found where my card went. And so what happens is that if you've got villagers that you want to summon from amiibo cards that you can't summon, like you can't bring in Etoile and you can't do Digby or Resetti or any of or those, you know, when you still scan the amiibo card, you get back on your Nook kiosk thing, when you go in to do a special order, you now have a place for posters.
Yep, I've done this. Yep.
So I have a little Twin Stars poster.
That's awesome. See, okay, we need to do a little amiibo trading. Then I don't know, maybe I have some figures you don't have, because I'm obsessed with those little posters. I have a room that has a bunch of them in it. So I have like those little goats that are friends. Mm-hmm. I have them because some of them form like super posters. So you use the Tom Nook amiibo and then the Timmy and Tommy amiibo, and it's three posters and they go together to form like a super poster. It's really
yeah,
cute.
Yeah, I need to put it back in because I have the Timmy and Nook, and I need to rescan my Nooklings for Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I have a Resetti poster in my house. I have a DJ KK downstairs. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, my regular KK, and I have my little, and actually the little Twin Stars one is Timmy and Tommy as Kiki and Lala.
Oh.
And Rob, I will absolutely order you a poster tomorrow. I think I've used up my orders, but I'm also willing to say that if any of our listeners, you know, if you want a Kiki Lala poster, over, I'll say, the next 2 weeks, I will give out four of them. And you have to message me on Twitter, and we'll work out the Nook code or the Dodo code or whatever. And you can't give out that code to anybody, but I will make sure that you get a Kiki and Lala poster, or one of Timmy and Tommy is Kiki Lala.
Fun. All right.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on. I think we've talked a lot of Animal Crossing, but I know it's
not enough.
You can't get away from it. It's everywhere. Anyway, Loki, maybe your week was filled with Animal Crossing too. I don't know. How was your gaming week?
No, I have still not touched Animal Crossing, unfortunately, even though I have it. No, this week was pretty much just Stampmania. I've been, you know, still trying to curate my song list and keep adding to it. I have too many songs in there. And so right now, mainly just trying to get the repeats out of there and trying to take out stuff that's just ridiculously like irritating, or just, you know, the steps are ridiculous on them. Because going through his stuff, there's a lot of, I know, like, folks love doing, like, step files for anime music, and I mean, it's fine, but, like, when you have, like, 500 songs of, like, various anime tracks for animes I've never seen, like, that's too much. Or, like, even, like, hardcore techno or, you know, rave music and stuff. It's like, okay, it's just so much of it just sounds the same. Like, I need to whittle down some of that stuff so that it's not so crazy. So, yeah, so I've been doing that and actually playing some of it as well. And then aside from Stepmania, I've been playing a little bit of stuff on my PC. So I played Minecraft this week as well. We were playing with my kids this morning, and so I have a realm. It's kind of like a server that we all play as a family, and so they wanted to go kill the Ender Dragon, so we found the fortress, and or I'm sorry, yeah, I think it's a stronghold, and we went to the end and killed the Ender Dragon as a family, so that was kind of fun. And then what else? I played a little bit of Earth Defense Force Iron Rain because I picked that up on a Steam sale at some point. And so, of course, you know, I love my Earth Defense Force games, and that one's kind of ridiculous as well. But it's a fancier looking Earth Defense Force, so I like that. The only thing I didn't quite care for is a lot of those games are kind of shoddily put together. So for whatever reason, it really wants to play on my laptop monitor, which I have two dedicated monitors, you know, at my desk, and it's just trying to play on the side here. So I have to disable my laptop display in order for it to play on the right screen, which is stupid. It's absolutely dumb, but it's Earth Defense Force, so what are you going to do? So that's pretty much it.
All right. Sounds like you've had a pretty busy week. I love that story of killing the Ender Dragon as a family. That's adorable. Some people play board games. Your family kills dragons. That's cool. My gaming week. So, yeah, I've had some time to play video games. So I'm still playing a lot of Final Fantasy XIV because that's my MMO time seek of choice. And I've also been playing Animal Crossing, just like Darksakura. Probably not as much as Darksakura, although I also today was my KK concert, actually, this morning. When I signed in to get the turnips, I got the KK concert, which is when the credits roll. So does that mean I beat Animal Crossing? Can I count that as I beat Animal Crossing for the year? Because the credits
finish the storyline.
Okay.
Like you were saying, you're now in endgame.
I'm in the endgame now. Yeah. No, but I've been getting a little more into the gardening thing. So I'm starting to collect the flowers. Like you brought me like blue pansies, I think. And so I've been trying to set up those efficient crossbreeding gardens. You've probably seen some of the pictures floating around out there. I have a cute little area. I've been really into customizing the things I build. Like, I did not realize, like, oh, not only can you build a fountain, but you can paint it black. And I was like, ooh, so I set up this whole little, like, garden, and I love it. So, yeah, you have to come see what I did, Darksakura, because I kind of changed a lot in that. And I finally got Able Sisters, which I know you were looking for last time. So that is
well,
there
now. Hey, if during your lunch tomorrow, because I had already taken 2 days off for my birthday, because I was supposed to be in San Francisco, but no, disease. Thank you, dump. Anyway, tomorrow we'll have to do some cross visiting so that we can see each other's new changes. Because, like I said, I've done a lot of work in my town.
Yeah. So and then
Dan built himself a redneck paradise.
Yeah, I just unlocked all that terraforming. So now I had like 40,000 Nook miles in storage because I never go to the islands. So like I'm like, oh, I'm buying that. So yeah, you'll have to see. Anyway, I keep thinking I'm going to do a stream on my personal channel, and I will get to it. Here's what's kind of been slowing me down on streaming on my personal channel. I've actually had to use some of the equipment to set up my work stuff in my personal office. Some of like the splitters and HDMI cables and stuff are actually making me able to work in my office. So if you're wondering like why I haven't streamed in a long time, that is a big part of the reason. But I need to just fix all that because I really want to do like a stream where I visit people's Animal Crossing towns and hit their villagers with bug nets. No, I'm kidding. I'll be respectful. It'll be fun. So there's that. So I've been making progress in Animal Crossing, which is cool. I've also been playing a crap ton of Final Fantasy VII Remake. Still haven't beaten it yet, but I'm at least 20 hours in. I'm thinking beyond that. And I am in chapter 13, 14 maybe. I just opened up a lot of subquests And that is probably what I can say without spoiling, because obviously I'm not going to be that guy who spoils. How can you spoil a game that is so many years old and just being remade? Because, and I said this last week, and I'll say it again because not enough people understand this, Final Fantasy VII Remake is not the same story. I mean, it kind of, I mean, it's the same plot, it's the same characters, but they've changed quite a bit. And so if you're, again, going, well, I'm not going to play a game that's only a quarter of the experience, you're wrong. It's you're thinking of it not the right, you're not putting it in the right framing, because it's not a one-for-one remake of the original whatsoever. It is completely a new plot, because they have fleshed things out and all that good stuff. A really good – so I was making comparisons on last week's show, and a really good one came up on Bobby Blackwolf's show from Pod Culture, and I think this is the best comparison I've heard yet. It's the Battlestar Galactica 70 series and the Battlestar Galactica reboot series. They're different. There's a lot of similarities, a lot of similar characters, a lot of things, but a lot's changed. For one, the special effects are much better in the newer version. So I think that was a really, really good comparison. Tiger Claw in chat says, does a certain character meet the same fate? I don't know yet, because it has not been addressed in the story. And even if I did know, I would never spoil for the listeners. And we'll find out. Play the game and find out. And maybe in 6 months we can talk a little more openly about it when enough people have played it at this point. Let's see. Going to chat for some other comments. Phoenix 7726 says, I wonder if they will make certain decisions in that game again, or if certain party members will stay until the end, Rob. I don't know. It depends. I don't know what they're going to do for the future episodes, because there's really only four playable characters in this game. And so I don't know what's going to happen when you open up things like Vincent, Yiffie, and Sid, and like all the characters you get later on. Oh.
Yeah, and that was the thing, too, is remember, you could also get Yuffie earlier in the game, mm-hmm. In Midgar, actually, in the original. It was rare to do that, but you could do it.
Yeah. So the answer is I don't know. And I think it is incorrect to assume because anything happened in the original, it's going to happen the same way in this one. This game makes it very clear they're not going to follow the exact same script. So they're going to do their own thing. So we really don't know. So what's going to happen in that department? Maybe there'll be new characters you can play. Who knows? I will say this. So they've said openly, you know, you can play Aerith, Barret, Tifa, Cloud, and then Red 13 is there, but he's a guest character. They've said that in pre-release interviews. I'm not like spoiling anything. They haven't talked about openly the official staff before the game came out. It's pretty limited to those characters. However, another character, and this is the part I am going to leave vague, did show up in a cutscene, and I was like, I was not expecting to see that, and it was like a blink and you'll miss it thing, and I was like, that's, and that was it. So there's, and I don't think in the original the character was in the Midgar part of the story. So they're doing their own thing, and I think it's great. So, Phoenix 7726 says, Rob, do we know when the next episode is coming out? No, we don't. And we don't even know if they're calling it an episode. They're going to do their own thing, and that's fine. So, anyhow, so that's enough on Final Fantasy VII Remake. I'm still loving it. I should say one other thing, because I think now some things where I could see like some criticisms of the game, not so much the story, but I did notice in playing chapters 10 and 11, some of it started to feel, and Alan was actually watching me play because Alan wanted to see a certain sequence that happened in the game, and then it led into chapters 10 and 11, and even he had kind of commented, like, this is getting to be a little, like, these maps are getting a little long. Like, this is getting a little samey, what you're doing. And I would say it was starting to get, luckily the game picked up again, but it was starting to feel a little bit grindy and a little bit like, okay, this is getting a little, yeah. And then the other thing I think that really needs to be brought up about Final Fantasy VII Remake is that a lot of people that are praising Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I'm not saying Final Fantasy VII Remake isn't deserving of lots of praise. I'm praising it. It's a great game. But it is fascinating to me how many people are praising VII Remake who completely took a shit on Final Fantasy XIII. Because I'm going to tell you what. Final Fantasy VII Remake almost has just as much in common with Final Fantasy XIII as it does with Final Fantasy VII. You'll see what I mean when you get around to playing it. But part of it is some of the maps do get kind of linear, except you might have a little branching path that takes you to a treasure chest. But like, I'm kind of surprised. And again, it didn't bother me in 13 because I still felt like there was enough like progression. There was enough where it kind of fit the narrative and the story they were trying to tell. Like the linearity in Final Fantasy 13 didn't really bother me. But I want to be clear, it's no better in Final Fantasy VII Remake. So it's interesting to me how people that were really bothered by... I really think if you play Final Fantasy VII Remake and you finish it and all that stuff, you should go back and play Final Fantasy XIII and reevaluate some of your feelings on Final Fantasy XIII. Because I think that game... I think time will treat that game more favorably than what it got when it first came out. I think as people go back and play it again. That whole stagger mechanic that's in Final Fantasy VII Remake, guess what game that came from? 13. So, you know, put some respect on Final Fantasy 13's name. That's what I'm saying. And what a perfect time to re-release the trilogy, although I don't think Square Enix has any plans to. But if I remember right, at the end of last year, Microsoft said at least 13 would be coming to Game Pass at some point. I don't know about 13.2 and Lightning Returns. I can't recall if that was included. But we should be seeing at some point 13 hit Microsoft Game Pass. So if you happen to have that, what a great opportunity to revisit. Hopefully coming soon. I don't know. We'll see. So some comments in chat, because I knew my hot take would get some comments here in chat. Bobby Blackwell says, it's very corridor heavy. I enjoyed 13. Akuma JP says, nope, Rob, you're wrong. How dare you? Final Fantasy 13 has shitty story. Final Fantasy 13 battle is shitty without materia. Final Fantasy 13 has shitty dialogue. Final Fantasy 13 says has shitty character except Lightning. But Final Fantasy 13 also has a decent ending. And I don't know if I necessarily agree. I enjoyed the battles, to be honest. I don't. Yeah. So anyway. VG Realness says, I never understood why people complain about Final Fantasy games being linear. They always were. I know I personally dislike 13 for other reasons. And that's fine. Again, people can have their own opinions on games. It's fine. But it's just interesting to me sometimes how the criteria here doesn't match the criteria here all the time. But that's fine. If you didn't like the story and you didn't like the characters, I don't think I can like change your mind on that. Like that's just one of those things that's open to interpretation, like any movie or book or what have you. Like it's just going to click for some people. It's not going to click for other people. And I will say Final Fantasy 13 did get a little alphabet soupy with some of their, like, the Le C and the Falci, and it did get a little, okay, I'll give you that. It got a little crazy with all that stuff, so it's fine. VG Realness says, I mean, name a Final Fantasy game prior to 15 that was not linear. 14 and 11, the MMOs, okay. If I can't count those, though, yeah, no. I mean, even go back to the very first Final Fantasy, you're right. A lot of that game's design is very gated. It's like you have this part of the map, and then you're going to go to this dungeon and get the dynamite that opens this part of the map. And then you're going to go to this dungeon and get the canoe that opens this part of the map. And then you're going to go get the boat that opens this part of the map. And then the airship that opens this part of the map. You're right. Final Fantasy games have kind of been linear in design for a very long time. So VG Realness says about the MMOs, they don't count. Don't get cute. I can't help it. I was born cute. All right. That's enough of my gaming week. Let's talk about some other stuff, like what's going on in the news. So, Loki, if you didn't fall asleep during my rants, why don't you start us off with some gaming news?
This isn't a really big surprise, but apparently Sony is – they're saying they're going to be making fewer PlayStation 5s this year due to its price, basically. You know, the thought is that a lot of these consoles might be a little bit behind in production because of the whole COVID-19 thing and folks not being able to return to work and that kind of stuff. But apparently they're saying that they're expecting that the pricing, of course, is going to be a factor in not being able to manufacture these units. I'm guessing maybe because the longer that they wait or because production right now is impacted by that, there's high prices for that stuff. We don't even really know what the price of the console is going to be yet, but... and we'll have to see. Right now, they're been telling their partners that they're going to make between 5 to 6 million PlayStation 5s during the financial year, which is ending March 31st of next year. And apparently they've sold, of course, more than that for like PlayStation 3 and 4 and stuff within the first two quarters. So I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of these stories seem to be just, let's speculate on stuff because we got nothing to go with because it's slow.
No, I think there is definitely some of that coming into play. But I think people are already concerned about how might the COVID situation and how it impacts the various factories and all these different countries that produce products. How is that going to ultimately play out in the situation? But what I think is interesting about this buzz, I don't know what else to call it, rumors, yeah. You know, what have you, admittedly. What's interesting about it is that they aren't really blaming the COVID situation, but they're saying because these parts are still very expensive and they're not projected to come down in price for a little bit, Sony is like kind of like purposefully making less of it so that way it doesn't feel like they're like the store shelves are full of them and it's not selling well, I guess. Well, is kind of what I'm reading.
I don't think it's necessarily that. They're saying that basically certain components are scarce and expensive, which would cut into the company's profits. So they're basically holding back on producing a large number of these right now while the component pricing is high and waiting to produce more once all that stuff settles down and everybody's back to work, and then all the pricing will come down.
Yeah, and I was going to say that would make more sense is that during this COVID situation, like, you know, technology gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper is the usual trajectory, right? But during this situation, right, that's probably not happening. And so maybe that's kind of throwing off Sony's patterns as to how much money are we going to make off this console and when and all that stuff. SG-100. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and we have to even see when it's going to come out because right now we're targeting the end of the year, but I mean, that's not set in stone. So we'll have to see.
Absolutely. I mean, depending on how this whole COVID stuff plays out, which we just don't know, you know, especially if the recent wave of, you know, and again, I'm really trying not to go there on the show, but this it is the reality and could have an effect on games and stuff. But if this recent wave of people clearly not giving a fuck anymore and just wanting to go out in mass and like, you know, I would rather make money for my boss than be healthy and all this stuff, if this plays into this situation just getting drawn out longer because a second wave ends up happening, like what happened in the 1900s with that flu pandemic, then maybe we're not going to see this end by September or October, which is when you would expect a new console to come out.
Well, also something to add with that, too. I'm glad that you brought that up because with these, I'm just going to say it, with these absolute idiots. I hate using the word, but they're idiots. People who are trying to protest about going back to work, they don't seem to realize that, yes, in 1918, when they, during the height of the Spanish flu, when after the end of World War One, yeah, when you know, the rates were going down, people were getting better, the moment they had a big massive celebration for the end of World War One, guess what happened? The pandemic spiked even higher than it did before, resulting in I think it was like another 20% more deaths than the first spike had caused.
Yeah, and it's just, I understand, like, I understand the frustrations where people, like, you know, are not, like, they're not able to work right now, you know, especially in people that are in, like, the bar industry or the entertainment or the, you know, live concert type of experience stuff. You know, these people are not able to work right now, and I understand those frustrations, but at the same time, I don't, for me, and I guess now this is a political issue, which is so weird to think because I didn't think this should be, but
everything is political, Rob.
Clearly. But like, instead of begging to go back to work and expose all these people to this, why aren't we protesting that the government should be providing for us?
Exactly. Well, and
that should be the protest, shouldn't it? I don't know. This is weird.
Well, one thing that I tried to tell my mom, too, is she's like, oh, you know, she's one of those good old days kind of, oh, the 50s, blah, 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 you know. And she doesn't like when I point out to her the tax rates that we were that America in general had in the 50s and that we were coming right out of FDR's New Deal. He's like, oh, yeah. But that's too much. You can't say that you want things to go back to the prosperity that we had before, yet vote against the things that made us have that prosperity before.
Yeah. You cut out there. Did you have anything else?
No.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, I didn't mean to get tangent-y, but it's going to happen with everything that's going on in the world. Sorry. But I mean, and like I said, it could affect all of this, because if we do not succeed in eradicating this or minimizing it to a traceable, testable thing that's controlled, let's say, within the next couple months, then we could be looking at things in the fall get pushed back too, and we don't get new game consoles because, you know, companies don't want to risk that type of financial state or whatever, because that should not be the type of stuff that we're rushing to target to get. As somebody is pointing out in chat, Phoenix7726 says, I get those, but then you have asses whining about how they can't get fertilizer for their hobby garden or can't get their hair cut or some asinine shit like that. And that's the thing, is that, you know, essential means essential, right? So video game consoles, I'm sorry, they're not essential. You probably have a gigantic backlog of games on Steam and so forth. Or you know what? Let me introduce you to a fantastic website. It's called itch.io. And games, as far as the eye can see, low cost and free, that will keep you busy for the next 10 years if you want it to.
Not even that. It might remind everybody that Ludum Dare is this weekend as well. There is going to be literally hundreds of games available for you to play, and plus all those other game jam games from previous, tons of game jams all the time, free games all around.
Yeah. So we don't need a PlayStation 5 this year. Sure, it would be nice. As a gaming fan, I would welcome that, but I understand there's a lot of crazy shit going on in the world right now, and if the PlayStation 5 doesn't happen as a result this year, I'll be okay. I got food and water. I'll be okay. So it's, yeah. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens, though, as, you know, the weeks and so forth continue. And especially if Sony is kind of running up against the clock to maybe announce some of this stuff. A lot of folks expecting that Sony would announce things in a June time frame, because June would have been E3. June is typically the month when these things are unveiled. Although I suppose if Sony's shown anything in the past couple of years, it is that they're going to do whatever the fuck they want, and they're going to do it on their timetable. So do we expect Loki or Darkside? Do we expect Sony to make an announcement in June, or do we think that doesn't even happen at this point?
I think it's going to happen at some point. They're going to have some sort of announcements, but yeah, a lot of these, they don't really seem to have much of a digital plan for, aside from what IGN's supposed to be doing for that, but like, there's not really anything been announced yet for that. And I don't know if they're in a big hurry to do that. I don't know. I hope we get some announcements.
And I think it would behoove them, though, to try to keep some kind of hype running. You know,
I think that's also why we are getting a little bit, we are getting kind of like the drip feed of, like, for example, we had that Mark Cerny game developer conference, clearly crafted presentation that came out. We just had a game that's getting updoed for PlayStation 5, had a trailer come out this week. And so it's showing off a little bit of what the PlayStation 5 can do. That was available. So I do feel like they're still going to kind of like drip feed us little bits and pieces here and there. But as for the big unveil, who knows? And I think SSG100 Matt has an excellent point in chat. It's kind of bad timing to announce a price for things when people are struggling to pay rent. I don't even know if June is the time. Like Loki is saying, they don't need to rush. And that's a very good point as well, is that it might be kind of tacky of Sony to announce something like that until we have a solution for, you know, when will things start to get back to some sense of normalcy, and when will the majority of people be able to go back to work, and some of those things get answered? I don't know. I would hope by June we're starting to get to some of those questions, but I will listen to the West Coast governors on that, because they're listening to scientists. So
I don't think normal is going to exist.
Well, that's why I said some sense of normal.
This is the new normal. I really think this is it. This is the new normal.
I don't think shelter in place is the normal forever. I think some things are going to be different, but mass gatherings may still be impacted for a while. I think conventions and Disneyland and those sorts of things could be on hold for a lot longer. But I think, I mean, it all depends on the testing. It depends on the testing and tracking. That's what it boils down to. Listen to those 6 points that the governor laid out previously. I think they will start to open restaurants and, you know, allow you to go visit friends and things like that. But it's going to be situations where the contacts are traceable, what it comes down to. But anyway, Yeah, I agree with Bobby. There's no way we're going to shelter in place until fall of 2021. That's not what I meant
at all. I mean that it's the taking extra precautions, having more social windfalls, especially here in California. I think that they're really going to – I honestly think that we're going to get a quite a bit more of a socialist turn in some of this, because we are enacting more and more policies now to protect people who have no means of their livelihood anymore. And I think we're going to start to see things like a little bit more involvement, and hopefully on a national scale, I'd really like for us to see more of foresight, more I can't think of the word right now. When you're ahead of the curve, you know.
Forethought.
When you're prepared.
Planning.
Not the word I was thinking of, but it's kind of like that. Anyway, but that's I'm having word problems. But I think that we're going to actually learn from this. I mean, not with, of course, the current administration, but I also think that we might there's going to be a big turn against that kind of backwards thought. We're going to start seeing people look more appreciatively at those who provide the services of our country.
Yeah.
I really do hope so. That's what I'm thinking is going to be the new normal. Oops, I hit my button by accident. The new normal is going to be that we also hopefully will do a lot more for each other and live more frugally, that we're not going to be as we need all of this stuff when we know that it's not a need, it's a want. And we have bigger things that we need to be worrying about. Just saying. And this is me as a gamer saying this.
Yeah.
So I hope that made sense.
Yeah, no, I get it. Anyway, it's hard for this subject not to come up, but I mean, it is impacting the video games that we're talking about. And, you know, I think a lot of these expectations as gamers of, oh, things are announced in June and like this is all up in the air due to this situation, which you just kind of like have to understand, you know, if anything is the new normal, it's uncertainty. And uncertainty is that normal, you know, so not everything is necessarily going to go according to a whatever type of plan. Also, I think worth pointing out, remember the Nintendo Switch. Nintendo Switch, what they announced that in early January, and it launched because it was right after New Year's Day. It was around like January 7th or so. They announced that, and then it launched in what, like early March. So not even like 2 months between announcement and launch. And the Nintendo Switch has done very, very well. So there's nothing to say that Sony couldn't announce in September and then launch it in November, 2 months. Be plenty of time for them. I don't know if that's what the investors would like, but they could do it. Could happen. We'll see. Anyhow. All right, let's move on. Get into some other topics. Let's talk about Facebook, which... I know. In some ways, I'm like, I'd rather not, because if you want to talk about where a lot of this misinformation and people going crazy and 5G caused this and all this stuff, I mean, look at Facebook. Like, where does all that BS spread?
You know what
spread?
Else they said about that, Rob?
What?
About certain technologies causing problems like this?
What?
Electricity.
Yeah. Anyway, it's silly. I think anybody listening to this show on a cell phone connection probably knows that talk is silly, but... People spread things, and Facebook is one thing they used to do it. But I guess
Can't we get Facebook to spread the rumors that like loot boxes cause COVID-19?
I don't know.
At least that's a positive. We can get rid of loot boxes at the same time.
We need those clickbait articles. I don't know, but maybe Facebook doesn't want to be known as the capital of misinformation anymore, and they want to be known as a gaming site. So Facebook is going to be releasing their own gaming mobile app this week. Supposedly, it launches on April 20th, so meaning Monday, tomorrow. So we'll see. I don't know if it will, but that's the date they're targeting.
Goody. I can't wait for all of the apps to shove that down my throat.
Yeah, right? There will be some casual games built into the app that you can play, but you can also watch and create gaming live streams, because Facebook is trying to go after that audience with the Twitch and the YouTube and all that. They are saying that the app will initially be available for Android. They are simply waiting on the iOS Apple approval type of situation for that
don't
side of things. maybe they won't. I don't know. I think it will go through. But anyway, doesn't talk about how broadcasting is going to work on the Apple devices. that could be interesting, but I think Streamlabs works, so I'm sure it's possible. But we'll see. Honestly, I'm not ready to really sign on to Facebook Gaming. I think before Facebook tries to, this is a personal opinion, I think before Facebook tries to put its hand in all these other cookie jars, they need to fix the jar they're in, and the spreading of misinformation is that jar that needs to be fixed. Sure, I think I heard they made it so that if you like an article that has misinformation about COVID-19, a pop-up comes up. That's a start, a really small, delayed, late, after-the-fact start. But here, you know, have a cookie. You know, you did that. Now do more. So we'll see. But in the meantime, I'm not interested in their gaming app whatsoever. But maybe some of you are. And you know what? Who knows? Maybe it really will be the next big thing, and I'm completely underestimating it. But I am A-okay with Twitch in the meantime. And Mixer's pretty cool, too. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. So if we don't have any other comments on that, let's go over to Dark Soccer with a bit of kind of sad news.
Bummers.
Yeah.
Lots of bummers.
Sorry, lots of bummers, but...
So we have lost some people in the gaming industry, and I'm always like, I read these articles, so-and-so has died. I'm like, that's very passive. They just died. So-and-so died. Just say it, you know. I hate the passive, make it gentle thing. I want it final, you know. But anyway, among those lost was Rick May, who was the one of the voice actors in Star Fox 64. He was Peppy Hare, and Andross, you know, bad guy. He also was the soldier in Team Fortress 2 and the narrator and voice of Genghis Khan in Age of Empires 2. He's done movie work. He was a teacher. You know, the community has suffered a loss with the hold that he's left. Another, you know, big name, a lot that we know, it was Paul Haddad, who was the voice of Leon in the original release of Resident Evil 2 or Biohazard. You know, and again, he had done some other movie work. He's done some animated work in the 1990s X-Men. He was Quicksilver. So he was also in, like, The Adventures of Tintin and Babar, you know, a lot of, you know, classic video game and animation voice actor. And again, another hole is left. And then our last one was the voice actor for Axel in Kingdom Hearts. It was Fujiwara Keiji, also died. 55 years old too. He died of cancer. And he had taken a break from voice acting in, from August 2016 to June 2017 to go through treatment. You know, one of his other big roles, he was the father in Crayon Shin-chan, Hiroshi, and he was also Arden in Final Fantasy 15 and Reno in Final Fantasy 7 Remake. So very recent loss, very recent voice actor. So there you go.
And it is interesting that the first question everybody's asking in this day and age is, was it COVID? In this case, I believe Rick May passed from COVID-related complications, but they're not saying Paul Haddad, the cause of death was not released. So, don't know on that one.
I just closed it, but I thought that they had released it. Let me just double check it again.
And then, Keiji, Fujiwara, was cancer, with cancer, as you said. Yeah. So,
they didn't, unfortunate. They didn't release, what the cause of death was. In other, you know, we've also, for COVID things, now this has nothing to do with video games, but everyone knows who Christopher Cross is, right?
Yeah,
like,
I've heard the name, yeah.
From the 80s, yeah. He did that sailing, you know. But he is paralyzed because of COVID. We've lost some amazing people. One of our big names in trans right activism died as well very recently, only I think a couple weeks ago. So that definitely is the first thing that we look at, because that seems to be the biggest killer, and the United States is mm-hmm. above every other country in the world combined.
Tiger Claw in chat is mentioning the Danny Goldman passed this week, not maybe known for games, but definitely known to people for his role in Young Frankenstein and was the voice of Brainy Smurf. And then I know we lost Brian Dennehy this week, who was very much a that guy actor. Although, again, Brian Dennehy was not COVID. It's just you know, people die of other causes, and that is all happening.
It made
right
me want
now,
to go back and watch Cocoon.
Yeah, yeah. He was very much at that. I always think of, I know this is terrible, but I always think of the South Park movie because they're singing the Brian Boitano song. And at one point, they have Brian Dennehy showing up, and somebody goes, "Not fucking Brian Dennehy, Brian Boitano." So, but he was definitely like, everybody still knows who Brian Dennehy is. Like, he's one of those like people you look at and you just know.
Yeah. Tiger Claw mentioned First Blood, you know, Rambo. So, oh, yeah. Big role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Very, very sad that we're having all these losses, whether it be COVID or otherwise. I know.
Especially with those, you know, people going out to the beach or gathering in groups protesting the thing that's keeping us safe. And my mom just told me that they lifted the work restrictions in Alabama.
Oh, wow.
She's going back to work full time. Well, full time for her. So, yeah, I'm pissed. And people are stupid, but it's... I'm trying not to get political, but America is broken.
It's just
America is broken.
There's going to be a very hard lesson learned, and it's going to be really, really unfortunate. So,
it's going to the lesson will be learned in blood. End of story.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to something a little less serious. Hopefully, Loki.
I don't know. We're talking about Nintendo Switch updates, so you know that could be
pretty serious stuff. Yeah,
it's some serious stuff. No, in this case, they're talking a little bit about allowing you to actually be able to remap your buttons on your Nintendo Switch. So that's kind of cool because it's not something that has been available, and I know that's something that was added to, like, I know the PlayStation. It's probably a while ago, but it's still pretty nice that they have that feature available, so you can swap different things like A and B buttons or, you know, change the orientation of the analog stick, you know, whatever you want to do, which is pretty cool. So, pretty neat that they have that available that you could make those changes. So that was pretty awesome. I have not planned on using this at all, though, unfortunately, because I haven't got to touch my Switch in a long time. Except my kids have used it for it just. Hog that thing for Minecraft.
Your Switch needs some touch.
Well, it's
it misses proper affection.
Yeah, I mean, I probably won't use this feature, but I understand as far as accessibility reasons go, this is a very like easy fix for consoles to make to help more people be able to play games on said consoles. So I'm all for it for that reason. You know, anything that opens up gaming to more people is a good thing. So yay to have those features in, even if it won't be something I use myself. Maybe I'll use those new Animal Crossing pictures they put in, because I think now your little icon on Animal or on the Switch can be like 6 Animal Crossing characters. But yeah.
Oh. Do they have Ed?
No, I don't think they have Ed, but they might have Rossetti, but don't quote me on that. I have to look. So, all right. Anyway. All right. Well, let's move on and talk a little bit about a game that I think is getting a lot of attention over on Twitch and a lot of other places, and that is a game called Valorant, which is a new Riot game. Riot, of course, is the makers of League of Legends, which has been hugely popular on Twitch and other, competition type things, esports websites and stuff. So many people have been looking forward to, you know, what are some of the other things that Riot is going to develop? And one of those games that Riot's been working on, there's been others, is Valorant, Valorant? Is there an I in it or not? I'm not sure. So Valorant, maybe. Maybe somebody in chat's going to yell at me that I'm pronouncing it wrong. Yeah, I don't know why, but I had an I inserted in it. Okay, so Valorant. Excuse me. Sorry, I got it wrong. But for that game, I don't know. You have to apparently have a key to get in, so it's not something I'm even playing right now anyway. So how could I be expected to know the title? But Valorant is a new first-person shooter game from Riot. And it's causing a little bit of controversy, though, because there is an anti-cheat system that's being installed with the game. Now, not that anti-cheat systems are necessarily controversial by nature, but this one, called Riot Vanguard, is apparently pretty aggressive because it actually starts up when you start your computer up. It is not something that starts when the game starts, such as, say, Fortnite's anti-cheat system launches when you launch the game. But, you know, some folks, you know, that are kind of defending what Riot is doing with this are saying, hey, a lot of the ways people get around the Fortnite anti-cheat is that they start those anti-cheats before they start Fortnite, so that way it kind of bypasses the anti-cheat system. This, being a little deeper in your computer boot up sequence, is a little harder to subvert in those ways. But of course, you know, people that want to really control the type of information that's going in and out of their computer, not everybody's super into that. In fact, on Reddit, some people are saying, you have a piece of software that can't be turned off. It runs with elevated privileges nonstop on your system. Let's say the anti-cheat gets compromised tomorrow. You won't know that your computer is exposed and it won't update until you start the game. Now, one of the leads on the anti-cheat, Paul Chamberlain, responded on subreddit to some of these issues, saying that basically Vanguard is functioning the way it's supposed to. The anti-cheat driver itself is only one small component of Vanguard. We've also built a new backend that allows us to be more specific with our anti-cheat checks. Instead of running the same security scans on all the computers, we can run checks in response to player reports or other suspicious behavior, which allow us to reduce the frequency and intensity of scans on the majority of players' computers. And it kind of ends in this whole, like, you just have to trust us type of thing. We invite players who are unsure to observe our actions and call us out if they don't like what they see. We think most players will appreciate our efforts, but if they don't, then we'll change tactics and find another way to meet our players' expectations. And Questbuster giving the secret on how to get into this game, saying, you have a chance to get a beta key drop by watching a Valorant stream with a Twitch account linked to Riot. It's one reason why Valorant streamers have titles emphasizing drops enabled. So people want you to come look at their stream so that you have a chance to get into the game for yourself. So, but obviously this anti-cheat thing being on all the time, it's something some folks may want to consider. Something to go with that, though, and I think this is important to say as well, Riot is offering up to $100,000 if you can find a security flaw in Vanguard. It is a contest, I guess you could say, being hosted at HackerOne. And that is a site where there's all sorts of tech companies offering bounties for finding issues with their software and so forth. This starts at $25,000 for a bug that allows outside entities to access a user's private information, all the way to $100,000 for code execution at the kernel level, basically meaning that somebody kind of like, I guess like an alien in the movie, kind of face hugs on to this software to do very bad things to your computer because it's something that boots up when your computer boots up. So I suppose that's one way to make a point about this software and make some money off of it if you want. So let's see. Tiger Claw in chat says, I wonder if it's something you can go into the task manager and disable in the startup. I don't know because I haven't used it myself, but Bobby does make a good point. If it was, people wouldn't be complaining. So yeah, I think if it was easy enough to kill it like that, people probably wouldn't be complaining. So you know, something to think about when you're going to install the game. This isn't going to stop everybody from installing the game, you know, and Riot, to give them some credit, they are saying, if you think there's a problem with it, call us out, watch it, see what it does for yourself. And if you think it's doing anything it shouldn't be, call us on it. So it is interesting they're kind of taking that stance where it's like, no, really, we're not taking any personal information. We're not doing anything. Like, watch, you know, so it's
I'm less interested in what it's potentially going to do to my system and one more interested in if it's actually going to still work because it seems like whenever these anti-cheat things are put in place, it just prompts people to try to find something to subvert it. So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
So it'll be interesting to see if somebody wants to do it for the $100,000 bounty or wants to do it just so they can do it. We'll see what happens. The internet's an interesting place sometimes.
Why can't we have both?
And we probably will. But in the meantime, we'll go to our next story. Darsakura.
Well, how about something happy? Something positive? Well, I mean, it's not really happy. But it's, I guess, positive? Because remember, positive things aren't always happy things. So there is a gamer who played Final Fantasy XIV. Rob, this is relevant to your interests, I'm sure.
Yes, of course.
In-game, he was known as Fern Leroy, L-E, you know, apostrophe R-O-Y. And who was very, very popular. Well-liked by his free company and lots of people. And he died of the novel coronavirus. And it went out on Reddit about it. They started talking about it, and they had a funeral procession. So on his server, which is the Zalera server, they started off in Ulda in the desert, and they were joined by characters from another server, Core, where his alt was on, named Poppy Rose. And the whole group wore black. They had black parasols. They wore very, you know, funeral appropriate clothing, and they walked all the way through the central shroud and ended up at the Guardian Tree, sacred site in the game. It took 30 minutes of in-game time to make the walk.
Because they were walking and not running. Many people run by default, but these folks walked.
Yeah, it was a very slow procession. As I recall, there were, there's videos of it. There were live tweets of it, all of that. And they finally ended with, with some words and I guess a virtual funeral. So as it went, they all went on to Twitter, talked about what the people did. And one of the quotes on there is that the Final Fantasy 14 community never ceases to amaze me. Such a huge turnout and show of respect, community, and camaraderie at this memorial service. My view distance couldn't handle so many people. May the fallen player rest in peace. My condolences to all involved. Be safe, everyone. Basically another person said that it took up 2 to 3 zones of the base game. So pretty big, and so many people offering their condolences. It was just really, really beautiful. So, not the first time we've seen other players honor somebody in a game.
For sure.
But this is a big one to do it in a big MMO and cross server, So, hey.
Well, and I think also, yes, you're right. We've heard of this type of memorial before. It's not the first time. It's even happened in Final Fantasy 14, and I'm sure many people have seen this sort of similar memorial in EverQuest or World of Warcraft or, insert many other major MMOs here. But I also think the reason why this is kind of newsworthy all over again and mm-hmm. why this particular story is getting the credit it is because for many people, you can't really memorialize in person right now. That's what makes everything that's going on almost even more tragic, is that those that pass really can't be properly, and I'm using my quoting fingers, memorialized because people can't gather in one place. So this is one way that people are getting around that of sorts by doing a virtual type of memorial. And I almost wonder if this isn't the type of thing you might see more of in these... not that I would wish that, but I think it might just be one of those, because of that, issue we have, you might see this happen more often. And even in things like Animal Crossing, not even things like funerals, but like weddings, drag shows, you name it, things that people gather to do in person, they're doing in Animal Crossing, and MMOs and stuff, I'm sure. So it's an interesting sign of the times, even if this isn't the first time we've heard a story like that.
There was one instance in Animal Crossing where the person made an 18-tile image of her mother who had just died, and they couldn't hold a funeral.
That's really sad.
And so she put spent time taking an actual photo, bringing it into the pattern maker, and trying to get it all just right to have a picture, a memorial to her mother. And, it was it took her, I was reading something it took her 2 weeks to do it and then have the funeral in game. And and not to go on the sad point of this, but unhappy things. I was, I was using this for my birthday, to have a little birthday party today. So people are also using the games for happier occasions.
For sure. For sure. So not everything is a Zoom meeting. Although certainly that's getting used a lot too. So, all right. Well, let's move on. Just a couple more stories before we get to the classic game of the week. Loki.
Let's talk about more things that are closed. So unfortunately, with E3 and everything being canceled, we were kind of hoping that maybe Gamescom might be the answer to getting some of our gaming news. Fortunately, because of a ruling in Germany that has basically banned any large gatherings until the end of August, Gamescom is also going to be canceled. So what's good, though, is they are refunding all the tickets that were already ordered. but unfortunately they're not going to have a live event. Now they're planning on maybe doing a digital event, so they're working on that, but there's not really any details on that just yet. So hopefully we'll have something digital from them coming around the same time. That, as well as we also have news that San Diego Comic-Con has also been canceled. San Diego Comic-Con, you know, of course, mostly a comic convention, as well as like movie and properties like that. But they do have some gaming announcements and gaming stuff sometimes coming out of that as well. So unfortunately, this year, they're not going to be doing that either.
Yeah, I think like when Marvel versus Capcom 3 or Infinite or whatever it was called was coming out, like they announced a lot of stuff at Comic-Con. So sometimes you get some kind of gaming tangents, we'll say.
Yeah, so that's unfortunate that they're not going to be doing that, but they did announce that they'll be returning next year, July 22nd through the 25th. So that's unfortunate. Lots of stuff that we're looking forward to. Hopefully we'll get those announcements anyways. And besides, I can't go to Comic-Con, so I got to wait for all those trailers to hit online anyways. So whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it honestly at this point just seems like if it's a convention in 2020, it's probably not going to happen. And that obviously makes me sad. I'm crossing my fingers and my toes that maybe a miracle happens. Maybe anything is possible after all, especially the whole world working on it. But I'm slowly accepting that reality, as sad as it is. So it'll just make that next year, and once we get on the other side of this, it'll make it all that much sweeter, I suppose. So, all right. Well, maybe some good news about what's going on with the ESRB is that finally, after all this time, and it feels like really one of those things where it's like, finally, they did this. The ESRB is now adding to their ratings if a game has loot boxes, except they're not calling it that. They're calling it in-game purchases. So if the game has microtransactions, it will have a little addition to the label underneath. It doesn't affect the letter rating. That can still be, E for everyone or, the typical ratings that the video games use. But, it always says why. Like, why did this game get an M?
Well, violence. It's not just in-game purchases, because that's been a thing that's already been happening. But now they're including if it includes random items.
I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. I would have gotten there eventually. Yes, it includes random items is the other key word there with the in-game purchases. And that means, because they're not saying loot boxes, because I guess that's not really a term they expect everybody to know. They did explain it on their website why they didn't use loot boxes, but whatever. They're still kind of making it clear that is the reason why they're putting it on the rating. And so it will be assigned to all games that include purchases with any randomized elements, including loot boxes, gacha games, item or card packs. So that would affect things like Magic the Gathering Online and stuff too. Prize wheel or what's Blizzard's? Hearthstone, things like that. Prize wheels, treasure chests, and more. Games that have the in-game purchases includes random items. Notice may also include other non-randomized paid elements. And I'm thinking that might be something like Overwatch that, kind of has a little bit of both. So not very often, but I have seen them sell skins for charity. So that would count. There it is. That is what they're doing. What do you guys think? It's about time, right? It's one of those things where it's like, oh, now that it's happened, there's so much other crap going on in the world. It's like, oh, you finally caught up? Great. Have a cookie.
It's not hardly even catching up. It's just like they're just kind of checking off that box. Like, see, we're doing something. We care. But really, they don't. I mean, I don't think anybody... They're never going to do anything because, unfortunately, the ESA – well, this isn't necessarily ESA, but I don't know. A lot of lobbying done by the ESA, because for these publishers, this is a very big revenue source for them. So, of course, they're not going to want to get rid of this stuff. And so they're just basically saying, kind of checking the boxes so that when this controversy comes up, oh, it's gambling, but like – but we tell you that it's in the game. We have the ratings. It shows it on here. See, we're not trying to trick you, that type of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see if that also includes, some of these games that add it after the fact. Because I know that a lot of times the boxes will be printed with these certain ratings. And then, like, for example, the Crash Team Racing stuff had loot boxes added after the game came out and after it's been reviewed. And I'm thinking that a lot of times when these ratings are updated, they don't necessarily update them to the printed box copies, but they will update the ratings on the ESRB website, like anybody even goes there to look at anything. So I don't know. I just, good job. At least you tried.
All right, ESRB, this claps for you. There we go. One clap instead of a round of applause. You get one clap. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to simpler times when there were no random items purchasable for money. You got what you got with your cartridge, and you were happy with it. It's a classic game of the week. Darksoccer is going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you, play this, not that. Dark Sakura, what is your pick for the classic game of the week?
I picked F-Zero, which is another thing I'm surprised I have never picked before.
Me too. This is one of my big classics. I love this game.
Yeah, I love me some F-Zero. And I might have sat and jammed out to the Mute City, level, because honestly, it's my favorite music in the game. F-Zero is one of those... early racing game, well, not really early for the Super Nintendo, but it was, I'd say one of those notable games. It was the first, of course, of the F-Zero series. It was a launch title for the SNES. So yes, it was early for the Super Nintendo. It has been emulated on virtual console services. I'll get into, of course, other releases of it. But the game is taking place in 2560. Where you race Formula One races called F-Zero. And basically, it's just bored rich people who made up these kind of races. And so you have, all of your, various characters who race, and you've got, power-ups here and there, very futuristic, really good music, some floating areas. But the races in F-Zero are 5 laps around a track. You have to complete each lap in a successfully higher place so that you're not disqualified as you're going through. So you are also given a 4-second speed boost when you pass a lap called the Super Jet, and you get points determined by what place you're on. And you can even get an extra machine so that you can retry the course if you've got a certain point and you haven't made it through. So you've got 2 different methods of boosting your speed. You have these plates that will launch you into the air with extra acceleration. And then you also have the general dash zones that increase your speed on the ground. You have 2 modes of play. You have Grand Prix mode, where you choose a league and you race against other vehicles in there. And then practice mode, where you just basically play. Play along. You have 15 tracks divided into 3 leagues. So you have Knight, Queen, and King. Those are the difficulty levels. And each league has up to 4 selectable levels in there. You have Beginner, Standard, Expert, and Master. You've got multiple courses for Deathwind, Port Town, and Red Canyon. They have a pathway that's not accessible until you're on another iteration of that track. And then it closes the previous pack. So it kind of moves things around here. As far as the development of this game, in Japan, it was a launch title, November 1st, 1990. It came out in the U.S. August 1991, in Europe sometime in 1992. And in the Japanese market, it was only that and Super Mario World that came out. In North America, of course, we had F-Zero, Pilot Wings, SimCity, Gradius 3, and Super Mario World. But... the game was produced by Miyamoto. Artwork was done by Shimizu Kazunobu. One of the art designers was basically, and his name, sorry, Imamura Takaya, got some pretty free reign for doing some of the design for the characters and the courses. So they really kind of went all out. And one of the good things about this game is that this is really, I think, one of the games that gave us a clear introduction to Mode 7.
Go ahead.
So Mode 7, for y'all kids who don't know what the Mode 7 is, it is a way of raster scaling. So basically, I'm sure you've heard the word vector. I'm sure you've heard raster. Vector uses mathematical calculations, so that's why, say, in a vector-designed game or vector art, no matter how much you resize it, it stays the same because it's all mathematically recalculating itself. Raster is going to be basically pixel. So, yeah, you did get, like, zoomed-in pixels on everything. I mean, think of... what am I trying to think of that had the really bad zoom-in? But at any rate, you had, you know, but it would move and it would scale and it gave you this pseudo 3D. It really was mind-blowing at the time. I mean, we had racing games before, but this was the big one.
Yeah, like, you know, and again, I know we have, you know, a lot of folks in their 20s and low 30s who may not have really been around or were very, very, very young when this game first came out. But, like, you know, many of us that are hosting the show were, like, you know, like 12 and, you know, 13 and so forth when this game first came out. And I got to tell you, it was mind blowing. Like the 3D in this game, the fact it was like all in a cartridge and just like how it moved so fast. And I don't know if that was part of the intentional design of why they did the game the way that they did, but in a stage like Mute City, it's going by so fast, it looks like it's a real city down there. Even though if you take a look, because it's just like a painted sprite. It's like something you could have done in Mario Paint, really, a 2D Mario Paint that they do this Mode 7 effect on and then layer the sprite of the car on top of it. It's really brilliant. But when it goes that fast, it looks like a city. But when you look at it kind of standing still, you can see it's kind of garbagey, but it doesn't matter.
That's something that designers do. Yeah. I mean, like, for example, if you have a billboard, you know, your print in a book resolution should be 300 DPI, 300 dots per inch. When you're doing, say, something on a billboard, it's going to be half that. You know, it's going to be higher than web quality, for example, but when you're looking at it from that distance moving that fast, it doesn't need to be 300 DPI. And that's what they're going with. It's an illusion. It's a chump dull, you know, the trick the eye.
Yeah, and it's... And I don't know if you were going to bring it up, so I'm sorry if I'm talking ahead of you. But, you know, Mario Kart obviously was a huge, you know, in some ways successor to this. But Mario Kart essentially uses all the same tricks of F-Zero.
Yeah.
It's all the same tricks. The only... In many ways, Super Mario Kart is F-Zero 2. And I know that sounds a little weird.
Yeah.
But
I got it.
Without F-Zero, you would not have Mario Kart. It's really that simple.
No, I get that. I absolutely get that. And, you know, there is really so much, you know, that people, I think, take for granted about this game and what it really is offered. And, you know, and we've had many other ones, which I'll be touching on later. And, you know, they've been certainly popular and well talked about on this show. So, you know, looking at this, it really is, I think, what modernized the racing game for the home console. Make sense?
Yes.
And a few other things with that Mode 7 is that it also allowed for different texture mapping, you know, and I'm not going to get in way too much into a little bit more of that. We talked about what it does in practice as opposed to what it does on the back end. So I'm going to get into a little bit more of the periphery about it and how it was received and what we had come on since then. So did you know there was an F-Zero jazz album?
I did. Somebody got me a copy of that way back in the day. I did. The songs translate well to jazz. In fact, in Mario Kart 8, because they bring back, I think those, like, they're kind of jazzy covers. They're not the same jazzy covers, but they're also jazz-inspired versions of the tracks in Mario Kart when they do the F-Zero levels.
Well, and one of the other things, too, is that great, I lost my train of thought. The album actually did bring in some notable musicians. I mean, basically, maybe people who aren't super big into jazz might not know them, but we had for playing on saxophone, Mark Russo of the Yellow Jackets, Robin Ford on electric guitar. You had for your 12 tracks on from the game were composed by Kanki Yumiko and Ishida Naoto, with arrangements by Robert Hill and Michiko Hill. So it actually, I think, is a really good album. It's a kind of a chill, fun thing to listen to, you know. But the game itself was very well received, and basically they thought it was some of the most fluid pseudo 3D of its time. It got I mean, just, you know, I'll put it this way. Famitsu gave it a 37 out of 40.
That's pretty good for Famitsu, yeah.
Yeah. IGN gave it a 7.5 out of 10, which I don't know why, because it was better than that. It had a variety of tracks. It had really... I'm trying to think of a good way. Well, actually, GameSpy, one of the writers, said that it was a finesse racer. It took practice and memorization and a fine sense of control. So I think that it really did bring more excitement to a genre that maybe had started to fall a little bit. And as far as its legacy, it did invent that futuristic racing genre. Would we have had Wipeout without that? Would we have had any of these other kind of high-tech future racing games? Daytona USA even was inspired by F-Zero. In fact, even the president of Amusements Vision, Nagoshi Toshihiro, stated that F-Zero taught him what a game should be and influenced him to create Daytona USA. So... And then it's also Amusement Vision that did work with Nintendo to create F-Zero GX and AX. And Nagoshi was one of the co-producers of the game. So, like I said, there were sequels. Of course, they had developed a sequel of F-Zero on the SNES. But it was supposed to be for the Satellaview subscription using that add-on. And in fact, you could get F-Zero from one of the download kiosks in Japan. It was, oh crap, what was it called? I know what it was called. It was, I'm forgetting what it was called. It was like a download kiosk that gave you one of, you know, it kind of was like how the Famicom disc worked.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've read about those, especially for the Famicom disc system.
Nintendo Power. It was called the Nintendo Power.
Oh, how funny. Maybe that's where the magazine got its name. But yeah, we didn't have anything like that in the U.S., obviously. That was very much a Japanese-only type of thing. But that's, you know, a big reason why Famicom had a disc system. Yeah, yeah, and the Satellaview, too, obviously, was never here either.
But at any rate, if you had the St. Giga subscription for Satellaview on the Super Famicom, you could get that kind of add-on version. And you could download those titles and save it on the flash ROM cartridge. The sequel was released as the name of BS F-Zero Grand Prix, because, you know, they're all the BS Satellaview, and BS F-Zero Grand Prix 2. You can get ROMs of them, just saying. Now, I mean, words. But the F-Zero Grand Prix had a new track along with the original 15 and four different playable vehicles. And according to Nintendo Power, they wanted to bring it to North America via a game pack. But it didn't. So as far as other ones, we had on the Nintendo 64 F-Zero X, where they continued to, to try to push what that system could do. And there was a lot of pushing to be done, let me tell you. They also brought the Mode 7 graphic effects into the Game Boy Advance version for maximum velocity and GP Legend, which the former was released in 2001. And it was considered to be a hard overhaul of F-Zero. There was also F-Zero GX and AX, which were respectively released for the Nintendo GameCube and Triforce Arcade System boards in 2003. And it was the first big video game collaboration between Nintendo and Sega.
And I we here at Orange Lounge Radio cannot understate how good those games were and how fabulous that whole arcade connection was. It was just it was amazing, unmatched since then.
And GX was the first F-Zero game that had a story mode. AX was also called. GameStop said that not GameStop, GameSpot said they're the first to get a proper arcade release. So. And then, of course, the most recent one is F-Zero Climax that came out for Game Boy Advance in 2004. And the first F-Zero game to have a built-in track editor without needing an expansion or add-on.
I was going to say, GX actually has, well, it's hidden in the code, but it actually has the AX like interface and tracks and everything in there. I know you can unlock some tracks when you link it with the arcade, but they actually had the AX mode in there that they never enabled.
Yeah, I remember that. But at any rate, I mean, there we go.
Yeah.
It's such a prime game, and I'm sorry I had never even done this on for the classic game of the week, because I really, really believe that we are due for a new F-Zero. We are overdue for a new F-Zero. It's been 16 years, Nintendo.
I am sad that Mario Kart has just taken over Nintendo, which, and don't get me wrong, I love Mario Kart, so it's not like I'm like really mad.
I'm mad about it.
I think Mario Kart has just taken over Nintendo's racing thing, because I think at the end of the day, Mario Kart sold better. You put Mario in it and it sells better. And, you know, that's on us for not supporting F-Zero. Well, I mean, you, me, and Matt have always supported F-Zero. But, you know, it's on the general gaming populace for not supporting it the same way that they support Mario. I wish they would do more DLC, maybe, that injects F-Zero and Mario.
It's been 16 years. There's a good portion of the populace that wasn't alive when the game came out last.
I know. No, you're right. But, yeah, and it's funny because some folks in chat are like, I swear you've done F-Zero as Game of the Week before. But, like, I think that's just because...
I looked on the wiki.
No, I know.
I don't think I...
No, yeah. But it's one of those... I think it's because we talk so much about... And maybe we've done F-Zero, AX, and GX. We probably did those games at some point. But maybe it's because we talk so much about how much we love F-Zero and that these games need to come back that it seems like we've done it as a classic Game of the Week. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Orange Wright says, isn't F-Zero on the Super Nintendo Switch Online? Yes, it is. And it's on the classic Super Nintendo Mini. So many ways to still officially revisit this game legally without having to download a ROM. So, get on it, kids. Check out F-Zero and think about how you wouldn't have Mario Kart without it. So,
yeah.
Ooh, we talked a lot. We let the video loop twice on that. We talked about that a long time.
What are y'all doing with your life? Seriously, get with game.
But honestly, though, like, even if you can't, like, super get into the original, because the original does feel a little plain now, you know, because, like, there's only, like, one type of car you're ever passing and so forth. Like, try somehow to play F-Zero GX. And I really wish Nintendo would bring that back somehow. Even if they just bring back F-Zero GX, like, I would so support that coming out on Switch.
I also want to point out to Bobby, who says, you know what they need to do? They need to make a spinoff game that's based on the Smash Brothers character Captain Falcon. Well, there was an anime called F-Zero GP Legend that had quite a bit of Captain Falcon in it. He is actually one of the main protagonists in it. He is named Bart otherwise, but yeah, it's... basically had this whole plot around Captain Falcon. Hmm. And yeah, he was the main protagonist in the GX story mode.
All right. Well, let's, the other interesting thing about GX is that they had...
for the record, I was saying something about it because not everyone knows that.
They have like something like 32 characters in F-Zero GX. Like, there's a ton of characters. Every single one of them has a theme song. And like, unless you go into the character information screen, you'll never hear it. It's so interesting to me how, like, there's so many characters and so many theme songs, and you probably missed them in F-Zero. Yeah. It's just interesting. So
it's an audio blink.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And I was going to say, and if for those fans of DDR, a couple of the characters had clips from it's not clips, but it samples the same samples as Legend of Max.
Really?
Hmm.
Yes.
Huh.
I back in the day when I did these, like, some, I did a lot of the Loki remix things.
Oh, and I missed those. Those were good.
Some of the lamer Loki remixes were like with one of those songs. And yeah, it has the fly and stuff like that in there.
I wonder if I need to play those on Twitch some night. I wonder if I could get away with playing those on Twitch. It would depend which ones. Probably the ones rooted in Bamani are probably fine, but maybe some of your, like, the ones for the Matrix soundtrack, I probably couldn't do those. But, yeah, we'll have to play some of those some night. All right. Anyway, thank you. It was a good classic game of the week. Really good. Well, I mean, they're all good, but that one was particularly good.
It was extra good.
Extra good. All right.
Extra good.
Anyway, let's move on. Rapid fire news. We got still a lot of news to cover. Let's get to it. Loki.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Terraria. So that's a game that we haven't brought up in a long time. But hey, they're doing their final update on May 16th on PC. So the game's been out since 2011. And their final update called Journey's End is going to be coming out on all of the, at least on PC at first. And then I assume the other platforms as well. It's going to add a bunch of new items, characters, and mini biomes. So look forward to that. I think that's something that's in my library that I haven't played ever, so maybe I'll have to check it out. And then, well, just when you thought your PC can run everything, they have to go and remaster Crysis. So that's going to be coming out as well on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. So if you got that brand new Switch and you really want to turn it to a melted piece of rubble, then run some Crysis Remastered on that. And that should be coming out, let's see, I don't know if they have a date on that yet, but later this year. And so what are we going to get with the remastered? It's going to actually have HD texture packs, high enhanced campaign, improved art assets, temporal anti-aliasing, a lot of other fun stuff. And I assume that, you know, obviously the Switch probably running a little less of that, but maybe even some ray tracing and stuff. So pretty awesome. We'll have to check it out. And fun fact, the game was set in 2020. So
yeah. How topical. All right. Well, moving on, a little bit of a follow-up to something we talked about last week, and the fact that the Japanese Nintendo Switch shipments were on hold because some of the COVID-related lockdowns and et cetera that are going on overseas. A follow-up this week indicates that Nintendo will begin to resume shipping of Nintendo Switch units later this week, which probably by the time now that I'm reading this already occurred. They did halt the distribution of the console because of COVID-19-related issues, but because of global demand, they are continuing shipments. So there you go. That is continuing. So hopefully those get to be a little bit easier to find, but I also hope they are being done safely. I don't have a lot of details as to how they made that happen again, but hopefully it is safe. I don't know. Also, a quick update. Awesome Games Done Quick is going on. Well, it's not the Awesome Games Done Quick. It is actually Corona Games Done Quick, I believe is the name of it. Corona Relief. Thank you. Quick. Corona Relief Done Quick is going on right now, and they're actually wrapping up. I think they're on the last run. They're on the, or did they finish? I think they might be completely done now. It might be, yeah. I think I was anticipating we'd be at this story by 7:30, but they're done now. It's 8 o'clock, so they finished their last speed run. They are done. I didn't get the final fundraising number. I was going to go to the website to get the final fundraising number. Does anybody know how much they raised? It was at like 200,000 or something when I checked earlier today. Maybe somebody in our chat knows. But they, for being all virtual and not being in a hotel and only being a weekend, not a week, they did a pretty darn good job. So I was going to give people an update on that. But unfortunately, since we got to it a little late, they're done. It's over. So I don't know what the – thank you, Orange Wright, for just over $400,000. $400,529.60. Thank you, Orange Wright. That's how much they ended up raising. So that's really good. Again, considering that most of them go for a week and this one was just a weekend, that's really good. Cool. All right.
And they had an exhibition with Pump It Up, too, so that was pretty awesome.
Oh, did they? I missed that. I saw a little earlier today when somebody
Fancy
was playing Mario 3.
Something like that, I think was the username, but they did like a live stream of some guy playing Pump It Up in his, or I assume in his house.
That's awesome. All right, Dark Sakura.
Well, and other news, you know how we every so often bring in some like I'm not gonna say legit, but just like the financial, you know, stuff, right?
Sure.
You know, Bloomberg has touched on Animal Crossing and actually has named the game the biggest hit of the lockdown. And one of their a research analyst that they work with was saying that they have, and I'm going to read the quote, "I have never seen so many people sharing so many screenshots of a single game on social networking sites." They're actually saying that Nintendo is likely to surpass its fiscal year sales numbers, which are going to be out on May 7th. That basically, you know, we were talking last week about this being like the prime time to release this game, right? I mean, not that it was done that way on purpose.
Right, or that really, we would ever wish this, but it's just the way the cards
fell. It was a silver lining. It was a blessing in disguise. And in this case, it looks like it's going to be an even bigger financial blessing for Nintendo. But, you know, again, on the personal side, it's been a blessing for the players.
Absolutely. So
it brought people together in a way that they couldn't.
And as you say, it's more the mainstream financial press that's picking this up now. Like, it's not just we're saying, oh, some blog is saying this is, you know, what investors
Bloomberg.
Look at. Yeah, this is what investors look at.
And on top of that, isn't Bloomberg more conservative leaning as well? So to hear positive things from, you know, from Bloomberg about a video game.
Their owner ran for the Democratic nomination, so hard to say. But yeah.
I might be thinking of Forbes.
Yeah, and Forbes also runs a lot of clickbait. So I don't like if they run the article, I don't know. And they they're because that guy ran for Republican governor once. But I mean, it doesn't matter. The reality is Forbes has a lot of clickbait trash on their site. Sorry, not sorry, but that's what it is. And, you know, this is a little more the mainstream press.
Exactly.
OK, neat. What else?
Well, and also, I really don't know anyone who is still playing this. So I guess this is actually maybe not be a big deal, but I know a lot of people still loved Pokemon Rumble Rush. They are shutting it down on July 2nd, 2020. That's been confirmed by Setebi, who I believe is, hold on just a second. Yes, Setebi.net, who basically follows Pokemon News, has got confirmation on it that buying the purchase of Poke Diamonds in the game, it has been disabled. The unused diamonds in the game will be refunded when the game shuts down. So that's at 1:59 a.m. UTC on July 2nd, 2020. That means that the game was only on the market for just over a year.
And I must admit, I forgot that Rumble Rush was even a thing, so I probably did not help this situation. But sorry to those that are fans of the game. But it was probably, like, when it comes to Pokemon on the mobile devices, I mean, Pokemon Go is really, you know, the royalty.
It's the thing.
It's going to be hard to compete. Any other Pokemon game kind of has to compete against itself, you know? I realize they're very different in how they play, but, you know, they're still Pokemon, right?
Yeah, and, well, I mean, we know what the shit is, right?
Yeah, so... All right. Well, this is the part of the show where we travel around the world and check out release dates. I mean, because we always have, but I know it's probably a little smaller just because of what's going on in the world. But I will ask anyway. Loki, do we have any U.S. releases this week?
Yeah, we have a few things. So starting off, we've got Azure Striker Gunvolt Striker Pack coming out on PlayStation 4. We've got Boku Haimi Project. That's going to be on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. MotoGP 20 on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Stadia. Picross S4 on Nintendo Switch. We have Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 4, Road to Boruto. Looks like Predator Hunting Grounds on PC and PlayStation 4. Trials of Mana on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. And last but not least, XCOM Chimera Squad on PC.
All right. Well, traveling over to Japan, boy, it was really slow in Japan last week, but this week is making up for it. There's a lot of new releases now. Things are picking up again. Again, though, I don't know how the current situation may affect some of these releases, but the information we have as of today are that these games are coming out in Japan this week. On April 23rd on the Nintendo Switch, Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 4 is coming out this week, as well as Super Real Mahjong Love 2 through 7. Clearly a Mahjong collection of sorts is out this week. Little Busters Converted Edition is out this week. That Boku Hime project that Loki mentioned for the U.S. is also out in Japan this week. Celeste gets a physical release in Japan this week. Little Town Hero as well. And Enter the Gungeon gets a Japanese release, as well as Metro Redo. All of this on the Switch. MotoGP 20. And this game sounds awesome. Bee Simulator is out on the Switch this week. Is this a game?
Yeah, it's been out over here for a while. Yeah,
has it? Oh, I gotta. Is it good? It looks really pretty for the, and it's kind of.
It looks neat. I've actually browsed it at the store several times. So I was like, should I pick this up? But
I need
no,
to look into this. Wait, I'm gonna read the description. See the world through the eyes of a bee. Compete with other bees in race. That would be kind of like, unfortunately, it isn't actually showing you what a bee would see. Compete with other bees in races, collect pollen, perform waggle dances, and explore a world inspired by Central Park in New York. I had no idea Bee Simulator was a thing.
Oh, the fact that it's near Central Park and it has to do with bees reminds me. I'm getting too many bee movie vibes.
Can you narrate bee movie while you play Bee Simulator? That's what I want to know. All right. Anyway, That is all.
Good. Anything's possible.
Anything's possible. Anyway, that's all on the Nintendo Switch. I hope it's not one of those things where it's like it sounds awesome and then it's garbage. It's shovelware. I really, my hopes are high for Bee Simulator. Let's just put it that way. And on the PlayStation 4 this week, also Bee Simulator, Celeste, Boku Hime Project, a lot of the same games. Anoatsu Line is out this week, as well as Zombie Army 4, Dead War, Azure Striker Gunvolt is out this week, and Trials of Mana, coinciding with the U.S. and around the world on April 24th on the PlayStation 4. And I might have missed that on the Switch, but that should be the same on the Switch as well. Yes, it is.
Well, it's an average of 6.5 on the 6.5 on Metacritic. So,
That's too bad. That's too bad. All right. Let's move on. Dark Sakura, how about the UK?
So going on in the UK, a whopping three games. We have on 22nd of April, MotoGP 2020 on PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. We have Deliver Us the Moon on the 23rd of April for PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. And then on PlayStation and Switch on the 23rd, Trials of Mana. That's it.
All right.
But sad trombone.
Yeah, it's expected. It's a little slow with the releases right now, with everything else going on in the world. But I know even if it's getting not so great reviews, I know a lot of people are looking forward to that Trials of Mana. So there is that. All right. Yeah. In this part of the show, we would typically go to our mailbag, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and read the emails. But I don't think we have any this week. At least last I checked, we didn't.
We have none after I cleaned out the leftover
sad
emails.
Face. All right. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send emails if you would like to have your opinions or your thoughts read on a future week's show. So we'll get back into some more news. So, Loki.
All right, so we talked about this a little bit before, where they had a Steam Games Festival. I want to say that was back in March or something, where it's basically a bunch of demos and whatnot that are put out by independent developers so you can check out their games.
Yeah, it kind of replaced GDC, if I remember right. It was kind of the Band-Aid
for
that.
Because we are lacking an E3 this year, they're going to be doing a Steam Games Festival Summer Edition from June 9th through the 14th. And they have registrations up now for developers to submit games for that as well. So it could be, you know, limited time demos, short playable experiences, allows you to actually, you know, connect with developers and whatnot. Plus, you can wishlist any of the games that you see there. So that's pretty cool. I didn't get a chance to check it out last time during GDC, so I'm hoping that this time I can actually play some of these things, because there were some that were mixed in there for the GDC one that were actually games I was looking forward to checking out. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, I love the idea of a virtual expo that we can all participate in, if nothing else. I'm sure it'll be primarily a lot of indie titles, but there's a lot of great indie titles, so why not? That'll be a really good thing. So. Jeff Keighley being involved is interesting too. So,
yeah,
we'll see how that goes. All right. Moving on, talking about, earlier I talked about how Japan is making Nintendo Switches again, and it does seem like everywhere Nintendo Switch is having a shortage, and bots apparently are to blame for some of this. This was something that was linked in our Discord server, actually, so thank you guys for sharing the story over at vognetwork.com/Discord, where we do pull some of our stories from, what you guys want to hear about. So there's actually the story that Vice was running with that's talking about how there is a bot out there that was built for Discord that somebody built that really it wasn't originally built for the Switch, because there's all these other like markets where they try to buy things up and resell them. Sneakers is what this was really made for. But the Switch seemed like an opportune market, so it was used for this as well. And of course, in this day and age, a lot of folks are looking for Nintendo Switches to help fill time with kids around and not a lot to do at home outside of virtual studies. So it's kind of driving up the demand for a Switch. So resellers are looking to make a quick buck. Obviously, the easiest way to stop resellers from being successful would be to stop buying. But I think the reality is you have a lot of families that don't understand and that are just like, I need this. so I'm going to spend all this money because maybe they have more disposable money to then turn around to these people who are flipping these things. And there's a Discord bot that is actually running a lot of this where you can actually buy through Discord and it kind of does a lot of the process for you so that you don't have to like go in and fill out your address and all that stuff by hand. These bots are kind of tailored to the websites to move through them for you. I would wish that these retailers would limit how many of this stuff you can buy. And I imagine they probably do. And there's probably ways that these guys have worked around that as well. So I don't want to say like, oh, they haven't thought of it, because I'm sure a lot of these retailers are trying to think of ways to combat this as well, because the reselling market doesn't always look good for them either. But the reality is it hasn't happened yet. But what I think is just crazy about this, and also kind of sad, is that what's happening in the Discord server, people are trying to capitalize on the stimulus payments that just went out this week. One apparent reseller in the Discord said, quote, yeah, mine are taking so long to deliver, I want them to hurry up while everyone still has some money. So people hoping to make all that, you know, get that stimulus money to buy an upsold Nintendo Switch. Again, obviously these folks can't be stopped. They're just going to change the technology to match whatever the websites do to stop them. It would be great if the stores would only allow one per address, but I also realize, you know, people are probably buying them for pickup. They put them in kids' names. They have to go to other places. They probably have all these ideas they do to work around them. So what we really need to do is stop supporting the resale market, because that's ultimately what's going to dry it up. But the reality is you and me are not the ones that are driving that market up. So we have to help spread the word Alan just brought me a drink. Thank you. Oh, wait, they're not paying for advertisement. Why am I putting their label forward? here, look at the nutrition facts. So we have to stop supporting the resale market and then they'll stop doing this. But until then, this is unfortunately part of it. So anyway, let's move on. Hopefully or to happier news. Actually, yes, I think this story is very cool. Dark Sakura?
Yeah. So now it is kind of hit or miss cool in my opinion, and I'll tell you after I've announced it. So the Getty, as in the Getty Center, you know, art, all of that, basically they have a tool called the Animal Crossing Art Generator, which you can pick out one of your favorite works of art, crop it down, and auto-generate a QR code that you can use in New Horizons using the Switch Online mobile tool, you know, using the Switch Online tool. And it's pretty cool. So you can get it through your Nook link. Now, the one thing that I do not like is that it really isn't very clear at all. It looks like blurs on the wall, really. So, I mean, you get the concept of the artwork. I mean, and then again, it is pretty neat. You know, it's a great thing. I think they used the pattern maker tool in conjunction with this one. They also have, like, their full step-by-step walkthrough on how to get you through that for people who haven't done this before. But really, it's a good way for people to, I guess, expose more natural art out there. Now, I did open up and take a look through the Getty Museum's art generator. They didn't have any of the artists that I was interested in. I looked for Frida Kahlo. I looked for Banksy. I looked for some more, what was her name? Hannah. I always forget her name, but she actually was one of the Weimar Bauhaus. I could see if there's Mondrian. That would probably translate very well. But I mean, the thing is that it's a good way to expose people to art, to have some fine pieces of art in their own museum. There's no Mondrian. That's sad. Yeah, it is kind of a limited search on here, but it is still pretty cool. It just doesn't come out very cleanly, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, I know some folks might be thinking, oh, God, another Animal Crossing story. But I mean, this is like when you have a museum.
This is our life now. Deal with it.
Well, and then when you have a museum embracing that part of pop culture to try to get more people interested in what the museum does, the art, I kind of think that's extremely newsworthy, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely do.
Yeah. And especially to the links, like the fact that they are, it's not just like, oh, teehee, somebody set up a, it's like, no, the museum is embracing
the Getty Museum.
QR codes for you to put in your town. And yeah, I mean, the QR code stuff is limited. Like, I have a picture of Mr. Smush in Smushland, but and when you see it, it's grainy and it's not that great, but it gets the point across, and I think that's what this is for too. If it starts a conversation about art, then it's a win, right? So I think it's pretty cool. But yeah, probably very limited on what they have the rights to reproduce in this manner. Although it would be cool to, you know, a lot of that stuff that you're talking about would be very cool. Marissa's in our chat. It's so good to see you.
Hi, Marissa.
Saying you could probably get an idea of what would be available by checking out the Getty Museum collections online. Yeah. And then, you know, if it drives you to their website to get these QR codes, then you're exploring the museum in a sense, or you're thinking about, oh, maybe I want to see this art in real life and all that good stuff.
You're doing the thing.
Yeah, exactly. So win-win all around, especially when museums are probably hurting right now because they don't have foot traffic. So
yeah.
Anyway. All right, moving on. Just a few more stories, and then we'll take listener roundtable questions in our chat room. Let's move on to Loki.
Yes. So one of the things, I mean, we've been all waiting for the Minecraft, you know, fancy graphics pack to come out. And unfortunately, since the 4K texture pack that was supposed to be coming out on Xbox One and PlayStation 4, I think we're just Xbox One and PC at one point, got canceled. We had to kind of wait for the whole Minecraft RTX update to be coming out to actually add real ray tracing to the game. And so now they have that in beta as well to actually check it out. So if you opt in through the Xbox beta program and actually get the Minecraft with RTX and happen to have a computer with an RTX GPU, so RTX 2060 through 2080, then you can actually check this game out. They also, what's unique about it, though, is because they're changing the way the graphics are set up in the game, all the textures, they only have specific texture packs and maps that work with it right now. So those are being offered for free as well. I happen to have a PC that can run RTX, and so I did get to check that out this week. And
well, lucky you, because I don't.
It looks really cool. I mean, it really does look like a different game. It's interesting though, like some of the, like just everything they have there, like the atmospheric lighting that's in there now is just pretty incredible. Like if you actually go and try to go down into caves and stuff like that with torches, like it doesn't illuminate very much and it gets extremely pitch black. And they have surfaces now they can set up like mirrors. I mean, if you're swimming underwater, you see the reflection of everything under the water and the top of the water, the surface. Just some incredible looking graphics there, the god rays and everything. And it actually runs pretty good on my laptop, so that's pretty cool.
You'll have to show it to me when we can hang out again.
Yes, I'll have to do that. I did end up uninstalling it after I played through it for a little bit because it's not compatible with my Realms and everything because it's beta, but it's pretty cool. There were some glitches I ran into at one point where stuff stopped drawing in a little bit. So obviously it's in beta and they're working on it, but it looks incredible. Like if this is something that maybe can be supported with the next generation of consoles, I mean, I think people are going to be having a pretty good time with it. So definitely check it out if you do own Minecraft on PC and can get into this beta program, which is pretty easy to do.
I was going to say I was really fucking bitter that the Super Duper graphics pack kind of got scrapped and then this came out instead for a $500 graphics card that I don't own. But it does seem very logical that the PC folks and the folks playing this right now are the beta test crowd, and that where this is ultimately going to end up is on the next Xbox. And assumably PlayStation 5. I mean, yes, Minecraft is a Microsoft product, but they still kind of put stuff on Switch and Sony. So, I mean, assumably it'll be there too. It'll probably just come out later for PlayStation, but yeah.
They're going to have, I don't know if it would necessarily work on those consoles because their GPUs are based around the ATI technology. So it's hard to say,
true.
Or it's ATI is kind of antiquated AMD technology, but I would be interested to see if they can adapt it for that. But like if they set up the groundwork for the stuff, then maybe it'll work. Or it'll come up with another solution.
Yeah, because when I heard it was like ray tracing, I was like, oh, well, that's what they keep talking about for the next series of consoles. So that seems like the logical progression. But okay, maybe not so easy then. Interesting. Okay, Bobby says in chat, Bobby Blackwolf says, hardware ray tracing is hardware ray tracing. The ATI cards will have it. They'll just have to port it. So it won't be such a maybe like easy type of transition. You know, hopefully not too bad. We'll see. All right.
But yeah, I could see support for it at some point.
All right. Lastly, but not leastly tonight, this is a story. What, like, honestly, what the fuck is going on with Cookie Mama? That is what we're calling this segment. What the fuck is going on with Cookie Mama? Because, like, there have been stories all over the internet about Cookie Mama. And it's that Cookie Mama is mining Bitcoin. Remember that one? That was around, like, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
It's just a mess. And apparently, Mama can't even fix her own damn game. There's issues going on with Cookie Mama. Cookstar is the actual name of the game that just came out for Switch. Well, sort of. The game's license holder and the publisher are fighting online about who is controlling this. The original developer of the DS game, Office Create, licensed Cookstar to Planet Entertainment in 2018. They decided together on a game design, and then it came out on the Nintendo Switch in March, and then was pulled from the shelves because Office Create said it failed to meet the standards its customers expect and deserve. So I guess it wasn't really mining Bitcoin. It was just bad. So I don't know.
From what I understand, like, I watched like a video of like what happened with that.
Oh, apparently, did a YouTuber explain it in 3 hours?
No, there's a channel that I watched that they did explain. It wasn't 3 hours. It was like a pretty short video, but they explained that the guy that works for that publishing company doesn't even really understand what Bitcoin is. They just thought if they dropped blockchain in there that would entice people because it's tech and, you know, everybody's talking about blockchain nowadays.
I'm sorry. I love this comment too damn much from our chat. Sia Tiberi in chat says, I was hoping it would be an accounting conspiracy so it would be cooking mama's books.
funny.
That's great. All right. Anyway. Yeah, and Bobby Bakov says, yes, saying blockchain gets you investor funding. It sure does. So anyway, Office Create is now saying legal action against Planet is probably going to happen to protect its customers. But Planet doesn't give a fuck. they said on the official Cookstar Twitter, said that the issue has to do with creative differences. There is no active litigation or ruling that prevents Planet from publishing this game. It may still come out on the Switch. This game is already turning into a huge collector's item for people to find and so forth. This is crazy. So, wow. But anyway, Cookie Mama may not be the mama you remember. Did you want to say something, Jamie?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't realize my mic wasn't muted or I would have muted it while I was typing what I was. Because I was trying to do a well-thought-out reply on actually something very similar. Oh, see, there it went. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to just clack away because that ain't me. But anyway, I'm just like, I keep thinking, Mama ain't fixing shit.
you're going to have to fix this one for your
damn
selves.
Mama's on her wine break, slam. You know, to quote that line by the late, great, now I can't think of her name. B. Arthur.
Mama's on a cruise ship and she's stuck. So
Mama's on a cruise ship with the COVIDs, okay?
No, don't joke about that. All right, so.
I'm not. Well, I am, but I'm also really mad at the cruise industry, so there's that. But I mean, the thing is that it's a shit show from the beginning and people are going to say what they're going to say. You know, the truth is there somewhere. No one's going to care what it is because they still want to only believe what they want to think. End of story.
All right. Well, what is Mr. Smush? Is that getting picked up by the mic? Mr. Smush is like screaming
I hear the
over
smush.
There. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Hi, Smushy. All right.
Anyway, let's move on. That was actually our last story that we had planned for tonight. So we're going to open up the listener roundtable via our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. So if you have a question or something you want to ask on the show, please go ahead and ask in the chat and we'll get to it. And yeah, everybody in chat is screaming about Mr. Smush. Yes, Smush wants to say something. I know he always okay. He always does this after he uses the litter box. Like he has to announce to the entire household.
Daddy, I have shat.
Exactly. Like and that is what just happened. I heard scratching noises, then I heard And like now he's screaming.
Sure, he doesn't have a problem with his butt.
I hope not. It's kind of hard to say because we can't really take him to the vet or anything right now. But everything's normal in the litter box in that department, so I don't think it's anything like that. But
it's just catism. My cat does the same thing every time she sees me. She screams at me.
Yeah,
like, every time.
Well, so. Midna's thing is that no matter if it's food time or not, she's still going to follow you into that front bathroom because that's where we feed her.
And now Mr. Smush is just lying on the kitchen floor like his entire world has ended because I guess he wants more food. So I don't know. He just ate, everybody.
You know what I did today, Rob?
What's that?
You know, I had sashimi for dinner.
Yes.
Midna has had her first taste of sashimi.
Oh yeah. Alan feeds the cat all the time. All the time, like just a little bit of human food, just a little bit, and you know, appropriately, like you know, he's very good at taking care of kitties. But like for example, last night we tried a new barbecue place that we'd never had before. We did it was our date night, so we did you know delivery food, and we had a new like a local barbecue place we'd never had before, and Mr. Smush got to have just a little bit of the barbecue chicken, just a little bit, so. But that's why Mr. Smush is more chonk than he was when we adopted him as a rescue kitty. He was very skinny then. Now he's chonk.
I gave Midna cheese a year ago, and now she has, like, cheese radar. She knows when it's actually cheese that's coming out. But she was all about the sushi, the sashimi.
I bet.
I can't have a lot of rice, even though I love rice. Dan's like, get what you want for your birthday dinner. And I'm like, sashimi. And so I gave Midna eventually ate a whole slice, like a whole ounce of fish.
A question from DJ Rama S in our chat room. What is the quarantine drink of choice? Right now, mine is Tito's vodka and Pepsi because Rite Aid was out of Coke. I don't do a lot of alcoholic drinking, really. But we've been drinking a lot more soda, which is bad because we're drinking like diet soda and Coke Zero and stuff like, and I fully admit it's trash and we shouldn't be drinking them, but you want comfort food right now in this whole circumstance. And I will say again, I guess I'm giving free advertising, but it is what it is. Diet Coke has these different flavors right now that are really good. Like they have a blood orange Diet Coke. And I love that one.
It was weird to me.
I love that one, but I also really love the ginger lime, and that's what we have a ton of right now. So, and Alan really likes the orange vanilla Coke Zero. So there's a lot of like Diet Coke terrible products in our house, which is weird because I'm usually a Pepsi person. So if it's non-diet, I prefer Pepsi, but if it's diet, I prefer Coke. Isn't that weird? But it's what it is.
No.
Yeah.
But so. I like here though it's been I really love Diet Cherry Pepsi, but right now we just have Diet Coke because that's what Dan found at 7-Eleven, which happened to be open after 9. Everything else is not. you know, like I said, I was gifted that bottle of Godiva chocolate liqueur, and I forgot about my very loaded bar that I have because I kept wanting to experiment with beverages after watching Cocktail Chemistry. So I have, you know, I have vermouth, I have gin in my freezer, I have the Nika coffee grain whiskey that my bestie got me for holidays. I have Larceny bourbon, which is also really good. It's a non-rye. I don't like practically anything rye. I've also got Kraken, which makes every diet soda taste like an oatmeal cookie, which is amazing.
That's awesome.
I have Tuaca. I have... I have Grand Marnier, which I'm actually thinking of taking the Godiva and the Grand Marnier and making myself a chocolate orange. I have creme de menthe. I have creme de cacao, which I usually use baking, so I don't have the best quality.
Damn, girl.
I also have a thing. I have some brandy. I also have some Hennessy left, a little bit of Hennessy. I have a touch of a bit of Hypnotic left in my fridge. I have a Pinot Noir Rosé.
I've got like 2 bottles of wine. That's it. let me quickly read some comments from chat.
You're
sounding like Bubba Gump shrimp in this and shrimp in this. off all your alcohol.
I'm just saying when I've had the wild urge, I've got to hook up. And now I have the Godiva, which is what I really wanted.
Marissa's in our chat saying the guava one, I think talking about the diet soda, is awesome. Leave me my one vice, diet cancer. That's how I feel. Like, look, you can sit there and tell me about how diet soda is horrible for you, and my answer is, bitch, I know. But these are trying times. And if a diet soda is going to make me happy, let me fucking live. Okay. Like, we'll address the kicking the diet soda habit after we get on the other side of this. Okay. That's what I'm leaving it as. And then, there's some other comments I wanted to say here. Let's see. Mish in our chat says, our drink of choice has been chocolate Coca-Cola. Ooh, that's really good too. That's good.
Chocolate Coke.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely chocolate cola out there, and I feel like chocolate Coke is a thing. I don't know if it's something in America, though. You'll have to ask Mish where they're getting that.
Now, I have to tell you, I can't drink sugary Coke, like, at all, because it just tastes too cloying to me. Mm-hmm. But that strawberry Coke that they had in Japan and the peach Coke, and me, who does not like peach, freaking peach Coke was good.
Zeba in chat says, we've been drinking a lot of different flavors of Spindrift. And some folks talking about Jackbox games and kind of using that to pass the time right now. A lot of people doing that on Zoom. And some folks have asked if we're going to do a VOG game night of sorts. And the answer is, yeah, I guess we need to plan something like that, don't we? I still want to do the Amazon Watch Party on my personal channel, but the selections are so limited. Like, I don't know what I would stream. There's old seasons of Survivor. But the problem with streaming those is that you kind of like already know who's going to go. So I don't know if it's as exciting, but I did consider old seasons of America's Next Top Model, because I don't know those as well. So there would still be surprises in them. And maybe the actual season, I have to see if they have that season that I always reference here on OLR with Tiffany, with the, we were rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. I feel like that should be the thing maybe that I should stream if they have that season. So VG Realness says, OMG, bitch, America's Next Top Model, I would be there for. So, okay, maybe that's going to be the show. Maybe I'll do some chairside watching of the season with Tiffany on it.
Oh,
was that season four?
And for the
four?
Record, if you go back to the drink thing real quick, you know, yeah, what is not in my house? Fucking La Croix. Shit's nasty.
I love it. All right. I think that's going to do it for the listener roundtable tonight. Thank you guys very much for the comments and all that. You guys always make this a good time. Really appreciate you guys being here and hanging out with us on a Sunday night, keeping us going through these really tough times. Really appreciate it.
You know what we didn't do? Because we had no emails. We didn't do Drag Race talk.
Well, because I'm not watching Drag Race this season.
What?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm taking a break. Drag Race and I are seeing other people for a little bit.
We have some last minute story.
Yeah, no, we'll get, yeah. What do you want to say for last minute stories, Loki?
So let's talk a little bit about Riot Games purchasing Hytale and the developers of Hypixel Studios, or I should say their developer, Hypixel Studios. So Hytale, if you may remember, we talked about it a little bit before, is sort of like a Minecraft game mixed with a little bit more RPG elements. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that. So that's supposed to be released. The game is still not yet out, but it's supposed to be released sometime in 2021. We talked a little bit about HD remasters of some classic games. Well, guess what? We talked about this before, but it's right around the corner now. So Chex Quest HD is going to be coming out on Steam. Apparently, it is going to be a free-to-play game when it comes out as well.
But oh, joy.
If you want to, you know, check it out, it's going to be launching this summer. And then,
hard to complain about free, I guess. And
yeah, speaking of
Chex Mix is pretty fucking good. And like, they're not even paying me to say that. So like, it's just legit something I'm craving now. Damn it.
And speaking of free, Sony has offered, I guess, a couple things for the folks that are staying home because of the whole COVID-19 thing. So they're offering Uncharted, the Nathan Drake Collection, and Journey for free on PlayStation 4.
Thank you.
Regardless if you have PlayStation Plus or not.
Somebody brought that up in chat, and I forgot who. I'm sorry. Somebody brought that up in chat during the Classic Game of the Week, and I was going to say something when we came back, but then my brain was so fixated on F-Zero, I forgot. But thank you for mentioning that. And to stress, you do not need PlayStation Plus for this. They are like free for all games. And of course, everybody was complaining. Well, not everybody, but people on Twitter who are loud and annoying were complaining. But you already gave us these games. No, these are free games for everybody, plus or no plus. So Journey and Uncharted Collection. And until May 1st, right?
I believe it's until, I just closed the page, May 5th.
Okay, close. But go get them now. What are you waiting for? Go get them now. Store.playstation.com. You can just log in right
May
there.
May 5th at 8 p.m. Pacific. So, you know, get on that.
There you go. Is that it? All right. Free games is a good note to end on. Hype Mayhem would be very proud if he's out there listening. That brings us towards the end of the show. I really want to thank you guys for tuning in and listening tonight. Really appreciate you guys being here. Whether you were listening live over at Twitch TV when we record on Sunday night, or if you were listening on our podcast feed, which is available, of course, on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much all of the big places where you can get podcasts, except for one. You can listen to this show and leave a nice review or something like that, because those things go a long way. Tell a friend about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put them out on air, then we don't really get to have every voice now, do we? Again, for those of you that are on Twitch, an auto host of VOG Network. Oh my gosh, that's like the absolute best thing you could do, and we really appreciate it. We also definitely appreciate all the follows, the biddies, and the subs. I will get to those after the show, as I always do. If you didn't already see your shout out, tick along the bottom of the screen. But I just want to say an extra special thank you to all of that. Really, really do appreciate all of you that go the extra mile. I think we should now wrap up and start to get people's final thoughts. I will start with my final thought. I don't usually go first. I'll start with my final thought. My final thought tonight is I didn't get into my discussion on this because I talked about it enough on Bobby's show tonight, but I will just simply say, stop spreading articles around that are farming you for hate clicks. Stop sharing hate porn. Start sharing nice porn. I don't know a nice way to phrase that, but we'll leave it at that. Okay, stop sharing hate porn. Start sharing just porn. All right. Anyway, Loki, what's your final thought tonight?
My final thought is I'm hopefully going to work on my game this week. I really tried to get to that point, but got very distracted. So I do want to get back into the groove of working. It's been hard because I don't have the routine of going to like my son's coding class and sitting down and doing it once in a while. So I need to get back into it. And I think even more frequent, like every day if I can.
All right. Last but not least, the one and only Dark Sakura, your final thought.
This is more continuous talking than I've done like in a week. And I actually am feeling kind of okay. So I'm actually sitting here kind of happy, and I have carrot cake waiting for me.
Well, I hope you had a wonderful birthday, Dark Sakura. And when we can, we'll celebrate. And I imagine celebration will somehow involve liquor, drag queens, cheesecake. Sound good?
That sounds pretty epic to me.
Okay.
I'm down.
Good. All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Captain Pikachu, for sitting in on cam because Loki and Dark Sakura can't join me in studio. Pika. Thank you, Captain Pikachu, for being here. Hopefully we'll get to all be in person at some point, but we'll do it when the governor says it's safe to do it because the governor's listening to scientists, and scientists are awesome. Stay safe, everybody. You know, again, I know it's been going over a month now and people are starting to go a little crazy and like what, but remember, we're doing this for a reason. Stay at home, play video games, pass the time, Zoom, Jackbox, visit your friends virtually, MMOs, Animal Crossing, whatever it is, hang in there. We'll get to the other side of this. Just, you know, you just got to stay put for a little while longer. So we'll stay put and keep doing this show every Sunday for you guys in the meantime. We will see you in 7 days next week. I'll finish Final Fantasy VII Remake by then, so I'm really hoping I'll have some things to say. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.